This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
PFW in Progress.
Get poop again!
He called this poop!
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shut up!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. The part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour. That little boy's got to think you got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We're back. It's Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. So I want to start out and wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, because I know when I sign off, I'll forget.
By the way, I need to say something.
Yes.
I know I make some off-color jokes on this show.
Yes.
I made a bad joke last week about Marquise Hill, and I've felt bad about it ever since, so I apologize.
Oh, okay. I must not have been here for that one.
And I didn't hear it. So let's not
repeat
for
anyone
it.
That
I don't remember it.
It
either. You don't have to repeat it, though.
I don't want to. I felt bad about it.
Did you get
afterwards.
Emails?
No.
No.
I just felt bad about it.
But along those lines, Fred, can we address that Bruce Allen thing real quick?
Okay, well, let's first let me do the business here. We'll keep that. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. That's 508-543-7482. Today's Wednesday. It's media day. We had Belichick. No Brady, though. Brady is usually scheduled for Wednesday, and for some reason, he was taken off the to-do list. So Tom's very busy doing something. We don't know what or why he
not
was
providing comments for my story.
The rumor is that he's just a little tired of answering questions about the running up.
You knew he was going to get it today after what he said on EEI.
Right, but we don't know that. That's just speculation. But he is not talking today, although I'm sure Mike Reese will have something from him one-on-one later. Right?
I think Reese is doing a phenomenal job. That blog is awesome.
Paul's eating a cookie. All right, let's see, what else? And on the conference call today was who?
Andy Reid. Brian Westbrook is at 3:15.
Okay.
No one will be there.
So you'll have that on Patriots.com later. You can listen to that at your pleasure. Unfiltered news. Don't have to worry about the media skewing your news for you. You can hear
it
yourself.
For the most part, it's unfiltered.
You can hear it yourself in full. Now, Tom, what are you talking about?
Well, Bruce Allen had put something in today about what was said on the Felger
Bruce
show.
Bruce Allen writes
for
Boston
Sports Media.
SportsMediaWatch.com.
And he said what Felger
also
said.
Also for Patriots Football Weekly.
And he does a monthly column for us.
Mike Felger.
You like
not,
Bruce Allen.
I'm not throwing Felger under the bus here. He said these things, that Belichick was awkward and a disaster when it comes to motivation. And he put in parentheses with PFW's Tom Casale.
Along with. Right.
And we were on the show, but we didn't say those things. Now, Bruce Allen, he's more than welcome to kill me for anything I say. I say a lot of stupid things, and I do a lot of stupid things, and I don't mind being criticized, but he kind of lumped us in like we were right there with him. The only point Andy and I made was that's probably not his strongest asset is talking one-on-one with players, and I think even Belichick would agree with that if you got him behind closed doors. He had problems with that in Cleveland. He's much better at it now, but just being one-on-one with Belichick, that's not what makes him right. The best coach on the planet. And Andy and I, how many times do we say how great of a coach Bill Belichick is and everything? And I just think we got a little unfairly lumped in with what Felger, because we did not, he put those words in quotations, and Andy Hart and Tom Casale never said one of those
right.
words.
And no one ever wants to be lumped in with Mike Felger.
And actually. The other issue is.
That's the big issue.
But the issue is Tom is right. We say a lot of very positive things, but what Bruce Allen does generally on his site, and I've been lumped into this before, is if you say one thing that might be a little bombastic or different He'll pick you out for that. He'll ignore the 750 hours you spent praising the team, praising whatever, and he just picks out a little nitpick. I got caught up in that a little post-combine issue at one point.
Yeah.
But that's what he – and the issue is he's a hypocrite because he hates that in the media, but he does the exact same thing on his site. You know why he does it? Same reason the media does it, because it draws hits, it draws interest,
draws attention.
It brings people to the site. So he's a little bit of a hypocrite in that. That area.
Well, I just wanted to let our fans know that we did not say any of those quoted words in Boston Sports. Andy Hart and Tom Casale did not say any of those, and we don't believe them.
That's
and
fair.
Look, and Bill, specifically with Belichick, he does that's one of those things that he wouldn't like because he cares very much about his relationships with his players. He talks about it a lot. And you remember, Fred, way back when, that's how I got myself in a little bit of trouble with Bill. So we all know here at PFW how strongly he takes that issue, so I don't think it's fair to sit there and say that Andy and Tom were saying those things when they weren't. You know, they were there. Now, does that make it guilt by association because they didn't stand up and shout him down? No, you can't do that. Right. First of all, it's the other guy's show. Second of all, that's not how radio works. Everybody's offering their own opinions.
And plus, the proof that Belichick does do some motivational things and they're effective, even though, you know, some of them might be kind of silly, is the fact that when Mangini went to the Jets, he started doing them,
right,
too. And he wouldn't have started doing them, too, unless he saw them being effective here. So they must have some positive effect.
That's right.
And like Paul said, I mean, Felger was just going off on a rant. I really didn't care what he was saying. And Andy and I kind of just glossed over it. We didn't think it was that big of a deal. But like Paul said, the other
– you got to watch out for that Felger. He'll drag you down to a morass. A morass.
Well, the other problem with what Paul said is Andy and I work for the team. So putting that up like that, we could get in trouble for that. And we didn't say those things. If we said them, then we'll take our medicine.
Exactly. When we say stuff, we'll stand by it or we'll apologize. But when we don't say stuff and then you lump us in trying to get us in trouble – That's
all. And it's not so much the.
And it's not so much you get in trouble because you're allowed to state your opinion. That's
right.
Not,
no, but that's kind of if that was
trouble,
us,
we
kind of taking a cheap shot at Bill.
But also, in trouble, I don't mean fired. I mean
next
time I say, Bill, can you talk about how James Sanders is playing? And he says, okay.
Yeah.
And moves on to the next.
Right.
You know,
he's mad at
we
you.
Have to have a working relationship with the head coach to do our job.
Well, and the thing about it is, it's not so much the message, like you say, your opinions. Well, maybe Tom and Andy didn't necessarily think that Felger was whacked out and way off base. But the fact is, Andy and Tom didn't use the words awkward and a disaster as a motivator and these kind of things. Maybe they're like, hey, look, he's a great game planner, and that puts the – you know, maybe that's how you think he motivates, is because he has the total respect of the locker room. But no one used those words but Mike Felger.
Right.
And it made it look like that Patriots Football Weekly's guys were using those words, and I don't like that, and I don't like it for Tom and Andy individually, and I don't like it for us collectively.
So now we have another reason to kick Felger's ass. Oh, no, it's not Felger's fault.
No, it's Bruce Allen.
It's actually Bruce Allen's
fault. But it actually shows at least we're objective. The guy writes for us, and we're tearing him a new one.
Right.
Because he screwed up.
And he writes for us, and he was
I was going to say, it shows he's objective, too.
Now, I'll bet you that he'll come back and say, that's not how I meant it.
Well, you're a writer. You've got to mean what
that's the key.
It's what it says.
The King's English. We got to adhere to grammatical rules.
Resiliency.
There's plenty of things you can...
Hey, I was wrong.
There's plenty of things you can slam me for, and I'm all for that if you want, but that wasn't one of them because I didn't say those things.
All right.
Just wanted to get that out there so our fans know that we weren't taking any cheap shots on the coach.
Okay. Well, we haven't got any emails yet because I don't know if a lot of people read that anyway.
No.
It's mostly for media reading about media.
That's
important.
Very true.
People do read it. People who would send us emails read it.
Yeah, I'm more concerned with people in the organization reading that and thinking that we were saying those words than I am fans.
Interesting rumor out there, Paul and I were just discussing, Fred, that I'm not sure is really a rumor or is something someone is starting to help with another rumor. Kirk Ferentz is supposedly on a short list for the Michigan job.
Yeah.
But in that note about that rumor, it says this sort of flies in the face of the rumor that he was waiting for Scott Pioli to take over, apparently, the L.A. franchise that you see.
Wow.
And Ferentz would be Pioli's head coach.
Right.
I've never heard that before in my life.
Neither have I.
And that makes me believe it's somebody making it up to make Ferentz a more attractive guy for Michigan to maybe try to prop him up as a better candidate.
Well, now he's on the short list for Michigan, and he's on a short list for a potential NFL job.
Who's
his
agent? Is it that weird guy, Lamont?
Well,
I don't know why I think of him as weird.
You can state this as simply as it possibly can. If Les Miles wants to go to Michigan, Les Miles will coach Michigan. That's as easy as
I mean,
can
I would agree
it's
with
as
that.
Simple as his contract has one out. It's Michigan.
And let's be honest, he's going to Michigan because that's where he wants to coach and they'll pay him the money.
All right, on the phone right now is Mike from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Mike, how you doing?
Pretty good, sir. How about yourself?
Good.
I can't believe I'm talking to Jake Steele. How about
that? You got that right.
First time caller, gentlemen, but I haven't missed a show in a couple months since I found the podcast. You guys do great work. Good to listen to you every day.
Well, thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Are you a
Denver Bronco fan, or are you actually a Patriot fan out in Denver?
No, actually, I lived in Fall River as a kid and moved out here.
That's too bad.
Congratulations.
10 years ago. Yeah, great. So I'm still a Pats fan. That doesn't change. We got a New England Patriots fan club here in Denver. We meet up every Sunday to watch the game since they're not always on TV. So.
Oh, cool. Did you
definitely
register?
Represent.
Did you register the fan club on Patriots.com?
No, actually, I was talking to the guy about that last Sunday, the guy that put it together, and he didn't even know about your guys' podcast. So I told pretty much the entire group to start downloading it because it is good stuff.
And plus,
you can't get, as you guys always say, ESPN is a disaster when it comes to objectivity. So this kind of stuff is definitely where you want to be.
Plus, there's a fan club registry on Patriots.com where you could give the information about your fan club so other people in Denver could find out about it and so on and so forth. So,
oh, cool. Yeah, definitely have to check that out.
Check that out. It's in the fan zone. You might want to register the club. So what's up, Mike?
All right. Well, I called in. I heard you're talking about Felger, but rather than talk about Felger because he's a disaster too,
yes.
We'll focus on I heard your yesterday's podcast about Maroney. I kind of have a theory. I figured I'd run it by you and see what you thought. The last time I remember Maroney looking good was preseason against Carolina when they came out and just ran the ball down their throat on that first drive. It almost seems to me like ever since their identity switched from a running team in the beginning of last year to a throwing team, and a lot of the sets come out of throwing formations, it seems like he's got a lot of indecision. He doesn't hit the hole, and I know that's kind of making excuses for him, but doesn't it kind of seem like he, coming from a college team that was all about running the ball, and now that he's in the pros and he's not the focus of the offense, that he kind of lacks the confidence that maybe he did early as a rookie?
The thing about college, though, didn't he split carries also there, too?
He split them, but not split. You know what I mean? He was the main guy.
He had 40-something carries.
More with Barber.
That's not really what Mike is talking about.
The idea is splitting the offensive load with a passing game, where in college he was a running team.
In college, whether it was him running the ball or Gary Russell or Marion Barber, they were a run-dominating team.
That's why they had to split carries, because they were running it 60 times.
They lined it up, and you knew they were coming at you with the ground game. He hasn't really been part of that since early in his rookie year. It's interesting. I don't know if that's – and it might be an excuse. I don't know if that's a factor, but it is interesting.
I think it would also feed into, as we said, what his weakness is, and that's at times he dances. And if he's looking – if he knows he's only going to get six carries a game, he's trying to maximize those six carries and get his 40-yard run rather than saying, I'll take my four, because on my 18th carry, maybe I go for 45 yards. So
he doesn't get that opportunity. It's interesting,
that's
Mike.
That's what I'm thinking, too. That's how I feel, is it looks like every time he gets the ball, he's looking for that – couple cuts and then try to go for 80 yards on every run rather than just getting that five.
Yeah, I think that's one
of
the problems.
Yeah.
The trouble is, I mean, that's what the offense isn't changing. This offense is Tom Brady, Randy Moss in the passing game, and he needs to, I mean, in theory, it should open up some room for him to
work
when he gets it.
That's
so
what we all thought.
He needs to do a better job of just taking what is there.
That's certainly what I thought. I thought this offense would lend itself to big plays.
Look, when Sammy Morris was doing just that, taking what was there, he was gaining over 100 yards a game.
Right.
There's no reason.
Hit a 49 down the defense a little
There's
bit.
There's no reason why Maroney can't do the
and
exact
if you say,
same thing.
The only thing
and
is
more.
He hasn't had the opportunities that Morris had.
No, he does. He hasn't.
He averages more carry than Morris did.
Right, but why is that? Why is
but
it?
If you say
I got to think it's health.
If you say that Joseph Addai is a product of the system, well, their system isn't nearly as good as the Patriots. Right. So wouldn't you think that Maroney would be a little bit of a product?
Yeah,
and if it is health, that goes to the other thing of, the durability. Can he stay on the field? And like Paul said, he's averaging 4.7 yards a carry. Most people would take that. But, again, my main argument would be, where's the big plays that
I totally agree with that.
We were supposed to see?
I thought we would get a situation where he was going to have, a reduced number of carries, but made, 5, 6, 8, 20-plus yard runs. And we haven't seen any.
Here's my prediction for Maroney for the rest of the season. There's, six games left?
I think you said this last week, but go ahead.
If he's on the field, he will average at least a touchdown per game for the rest of the season.
Okay.
What are you going to bet me for that?
Okay, but we can't count games that he doesn't play.
Does last game count as a game that he played?
Don't do it, Fred. Paul's like the Patriots. He gets all the breaks. I got three returns from Ted Ginn. They called two back.
I'll take the under on that one. I'll take the under.
So providing he plays in six games, he'll have six more touchdowns.
Okay, I don't think he will.
Okay.
Why don't you make that bet with the listener, Mike?
That's my prediction, Mike.
If Mike wins, I'll get lunch
during the playoffs, as long as I still get that nickel tour, because I'm going to try to get out there for the playoffs this year. I was out there for the Buffalo game in Foxborough, but that was before I knew that you could get a tour and get on the actual show of PFW. I would have bought you guys lunch for the rest of the year.
There's the bet. Lunch to the tour. If you win, you get to be on the show. You get the tour. If we win, you buy us lunch, and we'll consider giving you the tour.
Sounds like a deal to me. I'll take that.
All right, Mike.
Mike from Denver, thank you.
We'll be on the show soon.
Don't forget to register your site. All right.
Nice to hear from the first-time caller.
You are so predictable, by the way. As soon as he mentioned fan club, Your next line.
I was waiting.
Have you registered your fan club on Patriots.com?
So what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it.
He's a pitch man. That's his job.
Look, this is a resource that we put out there for the fans.
There's nothing wrong with it.
We've got now about 80 different clubs from around the world registered on this thing, and it's pretty cool. If wherever you are in the world, like for example, Dan Kraft and some of the people from my International Force Products were in London for the Dallas game, and we hooked them up with the official place where all the UK fans watch the game at Bodine's.
Do these people get anything?
What?
Do they get anything, like a discount in the pro shop?
They do. From time to time, we'll send them a 30% discount.
You have a future in the pitchman business.
Well, he was PR, you know, former PR.
We also,
Mr. Positive.
if you have a website for your fan club, we'll give you a seal that you can put on your site that says official.
Oh, nice.
And we're thinking of more things as we go along.
Fred, the only time I have a problem with you is when you're behind the wheel of a car. You're by far and away the worst driver.
I saw you.
You're a menace.
Look, when you come out of Dunkin' Donuts.
Let me tell you what happened this morning to the people. I take a right on a Route 1, and some idiot pulls out in front of me from Dunkin' Donuts. Now, I'm not thinking anything. It has a car similar to Fred, and I'm thinking, boy, these rich people think they own the road. So the guy's going 5 miles an hour, and I can't pass him because there's cars going by me. So I'm swearing up a storm. I finally pass him. I look over to give the guy the finger, and there's Fred chomping down on a donut.
Acting like, did
you ever see the movie Roadhouse, Paul?
Yes.
You know when the guy's in the car just like taking up the whole road and singing? That's Fred.
But luckily for you, once you got in the parking lot, then you didn't have any worry about it because he went 45 from that point on.
And this is on the heels of yesterday when we're driving to the TV show and we're in the middle lane and we're about 2.5-3 miles from the exit. He sees a cement mixer truck going about 15 miles an hour in the right lane, so he has to jam on his brakes, put on his blinker, and get behind it. God forbid we would have passed it.
And for whatever reason, I decided yesterday, and I don't usually do this, but I decided yesterday, okay, I'm on Route 1, there's Fred. I'm just going to stay behind Fred the whole time today. And
that's your fault.
I don't know what I was thinking, but even when we're on 95 and you get to the 93-95 split, usually you get in the left lane because you know you're going to stay left. Fred stays in the middle lane, so that way you have to deal with traffic on both sides going either way.
And if you're in a parking lot, Fred's doing 75.
The man's a menace. When we got in the parking lot, he drove his car at me at 80 miles an hour.
But you get him on the road, and it's below 55 the whole time.
At that point, I knew what I was doing. No, but the Route 1 etiquette when you're coming out of that Dunkin' Donuts
is go whenever you feel like it. That's what the etiquette is.
If another car's coming out of that exit ramp like you were, you take advantage of that and you shoot out.
But you the problem there is
the word shoot.
Right. If you had gone the normal speed, you would have been fine. You both would have just taken off, accelerated, and gone down Route 1.
You were too busy eating a
jelly
donut.
I have the right of way. I can go as fast or slow as I want.
And eat and drink coffee and do whatever to.
Well, I'm trying to do it without putting it all over my shirt, you know?
Well, you fail at that too.
So it's.
I just saw that blue Patriots jacket and some guy go.
All right.
Are we going to get into the breakfast cereal anytime soon?
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Bill Belichick's press conference today. What was he talking about?
Bill's not feeling well.
Tom brought it down.
No, by the way, Chris Gasper all for the Florida football talk. Said it was phenomenal.
He was excited about it.
Well, listen.
He went to BU.
Let me explain.
I thought he was a Florida.
No, he likes Florida State.
He likes Florida State, but he went to BU.
Listen, this is the only thing I was trying to get to. Bill mentioned Florida and the college, and I've been waiting to ask him about all this new offenses they're running in college with your Tim Tebow type of quarterbacks. And my concern is that a lot of people believe 90% of the college teams are going to be going to that in the next 5 years. So how do you assess the quarterback position? Because Alex Smith is the first guy that got drafted really high, and he's been a failure. So if you're looking to draft a quarterback, what do you do with Tim Tebow? Because he's never been in a pro-style system.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just curious. So I asked him if he ever thought that would come to the NFL, and he said, you know, well, Vince Young does it, but it's not the same thing. It's not what they're doing in college. But
yeah. Did he talk about how do you evaluate these?
Well, he said basically it's a single. I didn't get to the quarterback stuff because I knew people were about to kill me, so I just shut up. I'm not Burt Breer. I can't keep going on and on.
Well,
and
if you
on,
were Burt Breer, you would have asked the question. You know, guys like Tim and Dennis.
Right.
You know,
but I knew someone was about to throw something at my head, so I stopped one. Just shut up, because now, Andy, I'm going to be hearing this for the rest of my life.
No, but, Fred, you know how you usually, every year, late in the year, you get concerned for the coach for his well-being?
Sick.
He's not sick. He was definitely sick. Not feeling well.
At one point, I think he snorted something up and then chewed on it while answering.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
I heard that. It was disgusting.
He still had a clam in his throat while answering. It was nasty.
It was really disgusting. Yeah.
Yep, that right there. But he got something up with it.
I was actually being kind of serious. That I don't think he's feeling very well.
I am too.
He's definitely sick.
He brought me to a whole different place.
Year, he always gets sick, and I worry about that.
And apparently,
and Fred gets very concerned.
Apparently, touchdown Tommy Vardell, the worst first round draft pick ever, because he compared him to Heath Evans.
Yeah. There was a question, you know, trying to compare Evans, you know, all the things that he does, you know, because he can be a blocker one week and then a ball carry the next.
Right.
Tommy Vardell,
so
before he got injured.
Before he got hurt, he was never the same.
Of course, Bill
that.
Compared him to another
Tommy
white
Vardell.
Guy, another white fullback.
That's a guy from Penn State.
Stanford. You're close. Stanford, right. About 3,000 miles away.
I always get those two colleges mixed up.
Why? Because one's a football power.
I was going to say, a lot of similarities there. A football factory and one of the best academic institutions in the country.
Penn State's pretty good for academics.
They're not Stanford.
No.
See the big controversy down there? They finally have to reveal what Joe Paterno was paid?
Really? I thought they were going to have to reveal how old he is.
No, somebody put in a request, I guess 3 years ago, through one of those like Freedom of Information, and it's been a lawsuit back, and now the courts have ruled they must disclose how much money he made.
Oh, he donated a library, so I'm going to say it's a lot.
Wow. So why did the person want to know how much he makes?
Because
it's booster?
Supposed to be. No, it was a newspaper. It's supposed to be public information. He works for a state school.
State university.
That's true.
It shouldn't. I mean, it should be disclosed.
Was Belichick supposed to be public information?
No.
I didn't know if it was.
No, taxpayers pay Joe Paterno's
salary.
He's like a cop, a principal, anything. He's a state employee.
Like the local papers print, like every year, they'll have all of the civil service people.
Right.
And they'll have like a certain threshold. Anybody who makes above that, they get itemized. My brother-in-law's salary is.
The cops rip for doing too much overtime and details and doubling their salary, and that's big in my town now with the whole 2.5 override. Yeah. How much this guy's making? How much that guy?
Do you think Mortensen got Belichick's salary? Because don't they normally inject you with some kind of thing that kills you if you find that out?
Well, he had that written.
Remember when the whole. It was a while. Oh, it was during when he got the.
Right. Because all I ever hear is people say he makes in the neighborhood of $4 million a year.
Well, he said
like
it was four point five. Yeah,
he had a number.
They were talking about the money he had to pay.
Yeah. Right, he went with it.
All right, George from Sandwich wants to know quickly: are we going to do our picks today? Because it's his favorite part. We will do the picks for the Thursday's games.
Yes, and Eric's going to come down after practice.
And we'll wait till Friday to do the rest of the schedule. But let's take a break right now. Dan's in the booth because Gary's taking another day off. We'll be right back.
He's been a 3-time champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
3 touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points
Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything. Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
You know, Andy, I think does a terrific job. I think he's, I have an awful lot of respect for him. And
thanks, Bill.
That's Bill Belichick commenting on the work of Andy Hart.
See, now, if you were getting married again, you could use that for your intro.
That's true. Well, no, I wouldn't. I'm not a buffoon like you.
How was the locker room today?
Lots of media members.
Yeah. That's it? No players?
There were a few.
Did you guys interview each other?
I talked to James Sanders. Got a great interview with James Sanders coming off his performance.
Who you don't like. You don't think he's...
Oh, I have it right here. I have it right here.
Uh-oh. Tom's got some stuff.
We went back in the blog for training camp, and because people here run at such a terrible website, we could only go back a couple pages. But this is what Andy wrote right before the Tampa Bay game. James Sanders, he's had a great camp. His coverage is better. He's playing with an aggressive confidence. I hope that continues against the Bucs tonight. So there you go.
Okay.
That was one thing.
So
there's tons more. I couldn't go back on the blog far enough. We've all written stories about him. And like I said to these guys upstairs, listen, we're wrong about a lot of stuff, and you're more than welcome to bring that to our attention. But don't say we were wrong about something that we were the first. I mean,
right.
We don't get to beat our chests on too many things. We nailed this one. I mean, give us a break. And hey, Dan from Fairfax, you're better than that. You're better than that. You're one of our best listeners. You're one of our best fans. Go back in your notebook and find it. We were on James Sanders from the start.
And while you're there, talking about things we're right about, remember when I said Adalys Thomas was wasted on the inside and he had a half a sack through the first nine games and they put him on the outside and he had 2.5 sacks? I'm just saying.
Okay, well, I
wasted.
That doesn't
games.
Mean he's wasted on the inside. He does other things.
I'm saying he's wasted on the inside.
He's not going to get as many sacks.
He's not even leading the team in tackles. Teddy Bruschi is, so he's not even a good inside linebacker.
But maybe he's doing things that are allowing Bruschi not to be blocked.
He's getting back in coverage when guys couldn't.
He is a weapon off the edge.
Well,
that's where he should be.
That's no doubt. But
so if that means Roosevelt Colvin going to the bench or whatever.
Can I bring up a possibility? Could I bring up a possibility?
If they were
here,
losing
Andy?
Games, Andy, I'd listen to you. But you
Fred,
know,
let me bring
I can't,
up.
I can't.
They're not
argue.
Winning because of their defense.
But can I bring up a possibility?
Sure.
Maybe Bill thought that his inside linebackers were older, and he wanted Thomas to take some of that off them early in the season to keep them fresh.
Could be.
Now that we're at, you know, heading towards the second part of the season, now maybe we're going to see Thomas on the outside more because Bruschi and Seau haven't had to fight all those blockers where Thomas was with the bigger frame. Could that be a possibility?
That's right.
In games that they need to win, which it's hard to say because they haven't really had a game yet except the Colts, but I think it's clear he is a game changer on the outside.
Well, that's his
weapon.
Game. I mean, rushing the passers, he came here, he moved to inside linebacker because that's obviously what Bill wanted him to do, but his game is getting to the quarterback, and I think as we go on here, you're going to see him do more of that.
And let's, I mean, Vrabel's been good, Thomas has been good, and the limited chances he's had on the outside, so maybe the solution is get rid of Colvin.
Well, and the other thing, too, is those other three guys that you have to block, they're not bad either, with Seymour and Will Fork and Warren. You got to worry about those three. Then you get guys coming off the edge.
But using
for
your theory on age and taking the beating, I mean, in games that they have to win, you know, you go into a playoff game, in theory you want your best opportunity on the field, even if you think you're going to blow them out. Do we see Thomas and Vrabel on the outside with Seau and Bruschi on the inside?
So. And I think
I mean, Colvin has done nothing.
But I think maybe if he was healthy against the Colts, that's what you – I mean, I know he did play a little bit, but if Thomas was healthy, I think you would have saw that exact same thing.
Matt from Quincy writes in, I'm not around today as I'm going to Bass Pro Shop to buy my wife some lingerie. They have everything, right? They do, and they have camouflage thongs, so that would be good. Oh. They also have camouflage Christmas stockings, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want.
But I did want to rebut an email from yesterday. I am aware that hydrocephalus is a congenital condition where the skull is formed in such a way that cerebrospinal fluid is not able to drain and circulate correctly, which causes massive swelling of the cranium. I am also aware that Andy does not actually suffer from this. It was a joke. Besides, I now think his problem is actually cranial elephantitis.
I was going to say, he's the elephant man.
Right.
That's what you have. You ever seen that movie? Oh, hang on.
No.
Why would I even bring? Sorry.
No.
There's actually a couple of versions of the elephant.
But
man.
the classic I'm talking about.
Right.
Andy's not an animal.
Right. I am not an animal. I am a writer for PFW. Web radio at Patriots.com.
I was aware that Matt was only joking, by the way. And I saw his email yesterday.
It's not like he told me to see a doctor.
Yeah, I think he was telling the emailer that he was joking about that.
Right.
Andy, you should check with Harvard Pilgrim to see if it's covered.
I mean, by the way, these guys have problems eating Captain Crunch because it cuts their mouth.
Yes.
I've never had that problem.
But I still eat it.
Yeah.
I like it.
It actually
well, I did back in the
severs
day.
The roof of your mouth. Your
little like slices,
blood
little
you know, down
not,
when
no, you,
eat
you know when you eat something hot, Fred,
and
like your the upper part of your mouth kind of gets that skin.
I know, but it's not hot.
Oh, Fred. It's
all right.
What
I'm
do you
I'm
do?
Done.
Heat it
sharp.
Up in the microwave.
It's sharp. It's hard. It causes an irritation to the upper part of your mouth.
Does anyone else
it,
out there?
Suck it like
does
a
anyone
lozen.
Else out there have problems eating Captain Crunch? That's what we want to know.
I just can't believe that you don't know what we're talking about.
I've never had the problem. I honestly.
But I tried to compare it to something, and your response was, "It's not hot."
It's not hot.
Yes, we understand that.
But it's sort of similar, like when it's hot, and then you get
the
like,
end
that
result.
Skin.
The irritation to the top of your mouth is similar.
Okay, I just never.
You got to use a lot of milk. Put it in milk.
I do put it in milk.
I know,
and you got to make sure that milk's cold. It's going to be cold.
Well,
I usually
keep my milk in the fridge, but
because otherwise it'll be hot. It's not hot.
I do as well.
Let's see. Chris is in the Bronx. Chris, how you doing?
Good, Fred. Do you soak your Cap'n Crunch ahead of time?
No, I don't. I like it as crunchy as possible.
He soaks
corks. How do you
corks.
Not mess up the roof of your mouth?
I don't.
See, there
well,
you
thank
go.
You.
Thank
four
you, Chris.
For four. Well done, Chris.
Wow. I must have like a steel plate on the top of my mouth.
You got a steel plate
steel
somewhere.
Plate in your head somewhere.
Honestly, I've never had that problem. I eat a lot of Captain Crunch.
We've noticed that too.
Something's buzzing.
I'm actually calling to make a plea on Tom's behalf because I know at the beginning of the year, he had a certain number of sacks in mind for Thomas.
And no, it was Colvin.
It was Colvin.
Oh, was it Colvin?
Yeah, it was Colvin.
He had a dozen sacks for Colvin.
Yeah, I was way off. Now, see, this is the type of thing that you can call me on because I was completely wrong. But, you know, that's why I said pick something else other than the James Sanders. You can go back through those archives and find tons of stuff that I said stupid.
You could take turns with the three of us. Just use us all like pinatas. Fred never says anything stupid because he doesn't say anything controversial.
Right. Except that Fred's
Crunch
doesn't hurt your mouth.
No,
shots
at me now. My theory was that because of Thomas, Colvin was going to, and I thought he was going to play on the outside, obviously, more, where we saw, it's what could have been. You know, hey, Ted Ginn gets two called back, Thomas is on the inside, man, I can't catch a break.
Yeah, Colvin was all over the quarterback the other night when Thomas
was
on
close.
The outside.
He was close.
He did come close to getting one sack, you're right.
All right. Is that it, Chris?
No, I just want to ask if you guys were coaching this weekend, what would you go with a 3-4-4-3, and what would you do to cover Westbrook?
You got to spy Westbrook. You have to. He is the main
if
weapon.
If Dallas Thomas is healthy enough to do it, I would think that he's going to be kind of spying.
If not, I'd say Seau might be next in line because he's their pass linebacker coverage guy with the athleticism.
I put Sanders on him.
But I think if you're looking, if you were talking like MVP in the purest sense, Westbrook is up there because he is as much to that team as any player in the league. He does everything for the Eagles, and you know he's not the biggest guy in the world, but I think he's one of the best backs in the league.
He's great,
and you know what Bill's going to do. He's obviously not going to say we need to take away Reggie Brown and Hank Baskett and Kevin Curtis. We're going to take away Brian Westbrook. So that's why I think the Eagles are going to end for a whole lot of trouble because when they take Westbrook away,
there's nothing left.
And someone asked the question today in the press conference. I forget who it was. And I thought it was a good point. Just, you know, McNabb for so many years has been the face of that offense. Is Westbrook now the face? And, you know, Bill answered it diplomatically.
A lot of faces.
But
he listed like 12 guys.
He got to guys that don't even play. But. The point is that it's true. Westbrook really is the entire offense at this stage, and that's why the offense doesn't really get affected when the quarterback is out because Westbrook is the only one that affects. I mean, you saw it, the game that he missed against the Giants. They looked like they've never even played offense before in their lives.
All right, Chris, thank you for calling in. Chris from the Bronx.
Thank
you. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
You too, Chris. Thanks for putting Fred in his place with the whole Captain Crunch thing, too.
I just have never had that happen to me. And, you know, like I said,
you're tougher than us.
I just find it astounding that you don't know what we're talking about.
What I find astounding? There's three of us here that said the exact same thing, and he thinks we're making it up.
Yeah, but you guys say a lot of the same things, and I know where it's coming from.
Fred, it's not like we're assessing
idea what that means.
Our brain?
You have a certain perspective in which you're coming from.
What's that?
Which makes you
I do. It's called
things.
My personal
What's
perspective.
That? I like to go with informed.
Informed is the word I like to put in front of it.
Cynicism, pessimism.
Yeah.
You know, like Paul's statement, well, Fred never says anything controversial. Well, you know, I don't judge myself by trying to throw out controversial statements. I judge myself by trying to state my opinion in a fair and balanced way, to make waves.
Controversial is not the right word. Everything is over the top pro patriots.
There's a lot of people,
no one's going to call you on any of that.
There's a lot of people in journalism today that feel they need to stand out being controversial.
Bruce Allen.
So do you think we're three of them?
Keep trying to make an issue out of something that's not there.
Well, you know. Paul has, you know.
Paul is. We know that.
You know,
I do. I often say things I don't believe.
Paul has aspirations beyond this job, and I understand that. Nope. He's working for his next job.
Right. The ship has sailed, Fred. we know that happened.
Sailed.
Given up?
It's sunk.
Absolutely.
Why?
Because no one wants me.
Why
is that? What
play
was
the role of Gary getting all guilt trip on us?
You sent your resume to one place, the Boston Herald.
Do I have to rattle off the places I've sent my resume over the last 9 years?
Well, 9 years? I'm talking about since you've been here.
Since I've had that Herald?
Been here
nine years, Fred. 9 years.
Time flies.
Has it been that long?
Yes. Okay, so it's not all woe is anybody here. I'm just stating the facts for you.
Are they anywhere out of Boston area?
No.
See? You're limiting yourself.
Fred,
he doesn't
I'm limiting myself to the places that I want to work. Yes, you're
Sounds
right.
Like Fred's trying to get rid of Paul.
No, I'm just
taking the mic. Go to journalismjobs.com, Paul.
No, I hope all of you succeed and do as good as you can.
We're being stifled.
Wouldn't that
here?
Be well?
Well, there's only if your name's not last name's not Kraft, you're only going to a certain level in this company.
No, I don't I don't have any problem with the level I've achieved
to your
in
level.
The company. I don't have any problems whatsoever with the level I've attained in this company. I'm talking about moving on to other places will never happen because of certain limitations that are put on us here. That's the reason why I keep getting turned down, Fred.
You think so?
I've been told so. You don't break any stories.
I know, but there's guys that have come from here that, like Mike Reese, for example.
That was before the current regime.
Oh.
And it's also...
Really?
Yes.
If you want to take a step back,
I think we're as objective as we ever were.
Yeah, well, you're wrong.
I think we're as objective as we ever were.
I do.
Because we had a guy on the staff that wasn't objective.
Who?
Brian.
Well, anyway.
Fred, I just want
to say... Now you brought him to a level he doesn't want to go.
I mean, you know...
Fred, I just
want to knock people that aren't here.
I wanted to let you know that I did some self-evaluating this offseason.
Oh, boy.
And I realized that I'm just not that talented. So I've stopped sending my resume out, and I figured... Fred's the only guy who's ever going to hire me, so I'm probably here for good.
That's the way I look at it, Tom. I don't want anybody to say, oh, what was Tom?
I can just see Tom sitting in the dock with the pigeons in front of him, and then he comes to that realization. And
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, and he runs through, and the pigeons all, you know, are seagulls or whatever they are.
Why would I want to go anywhere else?
Well,
I like it here.
You had a good gig with a great boss.
I've made this a very comfortable place for all of you.
Wonderful.
Don't worry
boss.
About that.
Wonderful.
Because
boss.
I want you guys to achieve great things.
See, this is what.
Don't
you
try to make it less comfortable.
You know what this is coming to? This is coming to the second hour of this show where Fred's starting to talk again about moving on, and he's worried about us.
Well, I worry about myself, too.
I know you're worried about us, too, because you know if you leave, we're all out of here.
Yeah, but Fred, I still strive to be great. It's just that.
He can't.
Well, that, and, you know, it's. It used to be like I wanted this job, but now if I get one, great. If not, I still got a pretty good job here.
Mike,
pick the Patriots MVP. They're reading our paper.
Jay and Mike from Hanson says, Mike.
Hey, Glenn. Constantly.
Jay and Mike from Hanson says, my son Mike and I both have a problem with Captain Crunch. We continue to eat it, but it does cause the roof of your mouth to get sore. And
well
don't
done,
tell
Jay
us
and
to
Mike.
Eat it after it soaks in milk. You have to eat it while it's crunchy.
Yes, exactly. That's the whole
otherwise
idea.
It wouldn't be
crunch.
Captain Crunch.
Captain Sawyer.
Honestly, guys, I have never heard this before, and I've never had a problem.
Well, you must have a leather mouth or something. You're tremendous.
I
just think it's great that we did it again.
I've never talked to anyone about Captain Crunch before, so maybe that's why, but I've never heard people talking
about it. How
about
Cookie Crisp? You ever have Cookie
Crisp?
I
love Cookie Crisp.
But I think Captain Crunch
is another one that rips the roof of your mouth open.
Captain Crunch is a General Mills product, I think.
I believe you are correct.
Why? What? Has General Mills been informed of this epidemic?
But it's Captain
Crunch. They're tearing the mouths of America.
Fred, you know what? Fred, I lied before. You do say controversial things all the time.
You know, I don't know.
Has General Mills been involved?
Now, let me ask you a question. Are we going to hear this on EEI an hour from now?
Probably.
Hey, listen.
Right, Glenn?
Big O, listen.
Hey.
If you want to steal my material, then at least have me on the show so I can bitch slap you and Pete Shepard around a little bit. I mean, we talk about Tom Landry here, and an hour later they're talking about the exact same thing on EEI. That's too big of a coincidence for me. I'm sorry.
Glenn, none of those criticisms have come from me. I'll see you next week at our regular scheduled time.
Oh, God.
I just want to go
after... challenge you on nothing.
I just want to go after...
He's unplugged Paul Perillo on that show.
And as I've said in the past and will continue to say, I'll make my determination between 2 and 2:30 that day whether I want to get the crap kicked out of me for 3.5 hours. I don't know. It all changes every day.
Big O, just have me on one time. I just want to go after that Pete Shepard and that Diassi. He's rubbing me the wrong way. You keep saying, Big O keeps saying we get a player's perspective. I grew up a Cowboy fan, Big O. Diassi sucked.
Oh.
All right? So
it's true.
And Smurl has played like 30 years ago. The game has changed. You make fun of the guys on ESPN, and you're talking to a guy who couldn't play and a guy who played 30 years ago.
Ah, that's good stuff.
Just all so right. You know, you just... punched your ticket to never be on that show.
I was never going to be on
you know
it anyway.
What? I think it might help him.
Not making fun of those two guys. You're not going to get on that show.
Nah,
I like making fun of his kids.
Those guys are good. I'm just joking around with them. No, they are
now
right.
You got a shot again.
Beep, they're all right.
Playing the role of Trot Nixon.
I do think that Diassi's son is good. Does that count for anything?
Well, probably.
That's a better suck up.
Henry says,
Henry,
just
Hank.
Listening to the podcast of today's broadcast, you guys are ripping on Maroney. Am I missing something? Sure, he's been dinged up, but he has 4.6 yards per carry, which puts him in a tie for the 10th place in the league. That's better than Adai, Tomlinson, Portis, et cetera, et cetera. From what I've seen of Maroney, he runs hard, hits holes, moves the pile, makes guys miss. I don't really have an issue with his level of play when he's been healthy. I'm guessing Belichick is not keeping him out of games to punish him for being a Nancy. I would guess he is concerned about Maroney's health and therefore is only running him when he has to. Miami game is a good example of that. With Morris hurt, he put Maroney back on the field, possibly a little early, because he needed a quality running back out there to ensure the win. But as soon as that game got away from the Dolphins, Maroney was sitting out again. The Pats are lacking depth at running back, and I think Belichick is just keeping Lawrence as fresh as he can.
Hey, Fred, is listening a skill? I just wonder, I think it is. Because none of us have ripped Maroney. If all you can get out of the guy is 10 carries a game, you got yourself a bust. No matter how you want to look at it, you can make any excuse you want. If you can only run that guy 10 times a game, you got yourself a bust.
For a first-round pick, I have to agree with you.
And the other part
and
of it is...
hopefully that's going to change, but we don't
I agree with the end of that email, but the beginning. I mean, are you honestly saying in any way, shape, or form that Maroney has been better than Adai and those other guys that you've said?
Whatever, 10.
I mean, I remember Deuce Staley, when he was with the Eagles, averaged 6 yards a carry, but he only had 4 or 5 a game.
Yeah, I mean...
You know?
I think that...
And it's okay to have a backup like that, and but that's he's why, your franchise guy. Right, he's supposed to be your main guy.
What I was saying I agreed with was the end when he was talking about the durability and that you think Belichick has probably been taken out of consideration. I do think that's part of it. Andy made the point during the game. They announced him as probable for return. He probably would have returned if the game was more competitive. So the carries have been kept down, but the durability is a major issue because he hasn't been durable in his year and a half as a Patriot. So that's what we're concerned about. We're not ripping the guy's talent. We're not calling him a bust. We're saying, as Tom said, if he can't get more than 10 carries a game, and that's what you have, then that's a bust.
Step your game up, player.
The carries thing can go two ways now.
Look at Gary in there.
You look at Marion Barber the last 2 years. Look at his carries and his numbers. He's get 78, 80, 90 yards on 14, 15 carries. Now maybe if he got 25, 30 carries, he wouldn't be as good. But he's taking his limited amount of carries and putting up some pretty good numbers. So don't tell me, well, he's only getting 15 carries a game or whatever. Do something with those. Show us a sign. That's all we're asking. Show me a sign that you're going to be the big play back that they drafted you to be.
Jonas has a quick question about the Bill, not question, but statement. After Kevin Everett's message before the game and the subsequent poor performance of the Bills, I almost expect him to demand a trade. So, there you go.
That falls in line with Andy's shot at Marquise Hill.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Send in an email to apologize.
He should.
The belt. Did you see that? There was a headline in the Globe about that. I think I get the early paper, and their lead notebook item was about the Everett thing, and it said, "Faux provides early motivation," or something. And then the story was just factual about the fact that Everett had the video, they played it, whatever. But the headline sort of led you to believe that the Patriots used his video as motivation. And I'm thinking,
that's ridiculous.
That's one of those areas you don't want to...
Again, we said it yesterday, that's a fraternity of players. Whenever something happens like that...
Right.
I mean, yeah, he said beat the Patriots, but hey, it was a big game for Buffalo. They put it on the screen. I'm pretty sure the Patriots were already pumped up to play that game before that happened.
I thought it was a great thing.
I did, too.
And I really liked
everyone in that locker room, the Patriots locker room, agrees with you.
Yeah, and well, just judging by the sideline, you know, their reactions, you could see them on the sidelines, you know, pumping their fists, clapping. I think, as Andy put it yesterday, there's a bigger thing involved with the players, and there's no teams when something like that happens. There's no teammates. It's all one. And I thought it was great.
And I think sometimes we forget that they're human.
What did you say?
They're human beings.
Like that yesterday.
You know, they're human beings.
Right.
They have a life. They have a family. They have kids. And when you see them on the football field, we don't always think of that. But when something like that happens, unfortunately, that's the one time you do.
Andy from Vermont wants to know, what the F does eating Cap'n Crunch have to do with football, the Patriots? Maybe we should talk about Wheaties, because the Eagles better eat theirs this Sunday. I think the Patriots are going to make them look like everybody else, bad. And McNabb is not healthy, may not play. Forget about it. It's awesome. Go Pats.
I was looking at their schedule. They could be like a 5-11 football team.
Who?
The Eagles. They have like...
Well, they stink.
At Dallas, all their games from here on out except one, in my mind, they're going to lose.
Yeah, but you didn't think
they were a terrible team.
Winning streak came against the Skins in a game they should have lost, and then against
the
Dolphins.
As usual, they're playing their best football of the season.
Right now they're a 500 football team playing their best ball of the season that may not win again.
Right. This is as good as it's going to get.
Tim says, no one cares about Paul Perillo's career woes. You guys are not as half interesting as you think. People don't go through the trouble to listen to hear about this.
Ah, shut up.
At New England.
You're listening.
At New England, home against Seattle, home against the Giants, at Dallas, at New Orleans, and Buffalo at home.
So they should beat Buffalo.
Well,
not if they lose
those five games in a row. I'll put it all on Buffalo. I'll be all in.
Just for the record, we're pretty interesting.
Well, Brad says, it's just so engrossing listening to you guys interact. You seem like you'd be so much fun to hang out with.
Andy a ball.
Andy should be doing stand-up. Man, is he funny.
He is funny.
And Paul's pronunciation of the letter S is a can't-miss part of any show for me. That is a great speech impediment to have for his job.
S? I've never noticed it, but I'm going to make fun of it now.
Here's my question.
I didn't realize I had a speech impediment.
Yeah,
sorry. I don't even know what it is.
Could those of you that were covering the team since 2000 compare the locker rooms from the 01 team and the 07 team? It might be an interesting discussion. One thing that comes to mind was Brady's insistence on not meeting with the press with a podium, eschewing it to hold it in the locker room with the rest of the team. Now he comes out after each game with a meticulously planned outfit and runs a press conference like a seasoned politician. What are some other differences that you guys can recount based on being there? The juxtaposition may even make a good column for a talented writer. Do you guys have one on the staff?
No.
No!
But I've used that word before.
No, but Andy, didn't you write a column about
the
locker room?
He's just really killing us in that email.
I definitely think the locker room's a lot different. Yeah, I wrote about that earlier this year. But in terms of just Brady...
he hadn't earned the right to go to a podium.
Well, first of all,
he's a superstar now. If we're gonna, you know, get all defensive and everything, you know, about everything that we say and, you know, what the listeners say, the guy's out of his mind, because after every game in 2001, Brady went to the podium.
After the game, yes.
And that's what he's comparing.
Well, and
that's
it's
what
got nothing to do with
he's
anything.
Just compared
it's contractually
to that.
Obligated. Though that's except, worked into TV and
except
stuff.
For when they lose.
Well,
to,
that's
to
when
Indianapolis
just,
at home in 05.
That's when he has a hissy fit. Like
but
this week, Wednesday.
He's comparing it to after the game. He says now he comes out meticulously dressed and planned and all that.
Blow dries his hair.
That's what he did in 01.
Yeah, that's true.
During the week, even now, he does for the most part. Every once in a while, he does it in the media room. But for the most part, he does it in his locker, just
right.
like he did then.
Right.
So there really has been no juxtaposition of any
wow.
differences.
Okay.
But and I hope I said all my S's properly on that one.
You didn't. The overall locker room.
It must
rooms.
Be something with the mic, because I've never noticed you having a speech.
Boston accent. Obviously, I have a Boston accent. I could put up with that.
You know what I'm going to say. What in God's name is juxtaposition?
But the locker room, I definitely think, is different. I think there's a greater energy and youthful exuberance in this locker room. Everybody gets along better than I think they ever have. It's definitely a greater positive on this team, the overall locker room dynamic. They seem to be having more fun now.
Well,
that could be blowing people out by 25 points a game.
And I have some inside information on this.
Oh, boy, Ray Ventrone.
Yep, I spoke with Ray Ventrone today, you know, just to say hi because we're close. And
you had Thanksgiving over his house?
Nah, we're probably Christmas.
Why don't you invite he and his wife over?
Okay, so I asked him. I said, you know, it seemed like, you know, last time you were here, the locker room wasn't as lively and stuff. And he said there's definitely, he said, you know, more people are just – you know, on the same page and get, because you see him now talking with Rodney and
right.
you never saw
everybody.
That before.
Told you, he did a dribble drive, went off the pick set by Dante
yeah.
Stallworth, air jump shot. I mean, they're all just wacko in there. They're just screwing around all the time.
And it's all thanks to Randy Moss.
Oh, I thought it was Corey Dillon. I thought he was the Norv Turner of this locker room.
Could be that. I could be that. But I also think the fact that they haven't lost any games.
Yeah, that helps.
No,
the blowing
I mean,
teams
I know,
out.
No, but what I'm saying is, I think for the most part, it's been a pretty positive locker room even in the past. But now there's never any down periods because they don't lose any games.
But they've added fun.
Oh, they definitely
never got the impression
there's definitely
they had
a lot of fun, and that's
when
Moss.
Teddy Bruschi was the leader, and those were all businesslike. And Willie McGinnis, it was all businesslike for the most part. Now they're businesslike on Sunday, but Wednesday to Friday when I'm in the locker room, I think they're having fun.
I think it's adding guys like Stallworth.
Right, it's the vibe. Those guys have a certain...
You got to have fun if you're with Dante Stallworth.
Unless you're Kelly Washington.
Talk about guys you'd like to hang out with. That's a guy I'd want to hang out with.
And if you want to make a comparison, last week, all the players talked about it being the most difficult week of practice that they can remember. Well, I'll tell you, there was no sign of that whatsoever.
No one's ever dragging
walking in there every day. It was the same as it's been every other week. You know, a lot of fun, a lot of fooling around, a lot of interaction with the players.
It's like me on Fridays when I get to wear shorts or jeans. Or on the Wednesday.
Or on Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
That's what it's like.
I thought about it today.
The extra energy. I was wondering if it was okay, and then I walked in and five other people had jeans on when in the elevator.
He's a menace. I mean,
he's a rebel.
Well, since I'm supposed to take Friday off and I can't, and they said, well, you can take it another time as long as you squeeze it in before the end of the year. I don't know if they know, but the football season doesn't end between now and the end of the year.
See, that's what I didn't know. That's why I didn't realize that Friday was a day that specifically is off.
I know I don't. That's why I don't really care.
I'll take Monday off after the Giants game.
I have the best boss...
I'm taking that.
Yeah, you idiot.
Off.
That's New Year's Eve. We have to do the TV show. Other than that, we don't have to work.
Well,
We're taking that Monday off, except for the taping.
And
of the
I don't
show.
Care what Fred
we have
says.
The best boss in the world, and that's the bottom line.
He no, doesn't. The answer is no.
Now you didn't lose that thing yesterday, did you?
What thing?
About going to that meeting to open enrollment.
I didn't lose it. Why?
Okay. Well, your desk worries me, and I actually need to make sure I.
And right after I asked you
I've
a question about it, you
it,
asked
the
what the hell
thing
it was.
I've only heard from three of you so far. I don't know. About
oh, I had to get back to you about that. What if you don't have any benefits through here? I just figured it was for people
who
had benefits.
If you don't want to go, you don't have to go.
Yeah,
right.
Well, you don't, that's all. You don't have to get
Well, that's why I deleted it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't realize I had to get back to you. Maybe that's why I can't find a job. I don't listen. I don't pay attention.
Right.
Fire him.
You
shut up.
All right.
You shut up.
Let's see. Joe McConaga from Houston. he has special rules just for the Patriots. One, in the course of an NFL game, if the Patriots go up by more than 31 points, they are not allowed to play offense until the opposing team draws to within one score. Patriots will kick off after an opposing team's touchdown or field goal. Once the team is within one score, the Pats offense may play, but Tom Brady may not, unless the Pats play with eight players, including Tom, or the Pats play with
boring.
Nine players, but one player for the Patriots is chosen by the opposing team from the stands. And he goes on and on. We get the.
Mini Gary stepping it up today.
Sorry, Makakangaganga.
The point is, though, that the league would like to, and especially Bill Polian would like to.
You know what?
Special...
You're not going to like a quote from Bill Polian and Gordon Fultz.
I hope they score more
points.
What did he say?
Very complimentary of the Patriots.
Well, has to be right now.
You're not going
to
like it.
He has to be right now.
I know,
now.
But you're not going to like it. I'm
Wouldn't
just telling
it be funny
you.
If they came out and won like 3-0 this week? Just on purpose. Just to show that they can do whatever the hell they want to do. Just hold, shut out the Eagles and just score 3 points.
And they do it on the last play. Like they line it up so they kick the field goal on the last play of the game.
And they take Brady out to do it.
And then we
they
can prove that Matt Steve Castle. Guy that everything really is just orchestrated. They can do whatever they want. It's all manipulated.
Oh, it's like I said last week. They got the touchdowns from Moss because T.O. got the touchdowns.
They did.
Shane says, I remember hearing you guys talk about Jamie Dukes from the NFL Network and thinking that the guy can't be that bad. I was right. He is worse. I've had the channel for about 2 weeks now, and I can't watch the guy. His main analysis
is
making sarcastic comments about coaches and players' press conferences. Has he ever watched himself on TV? He is fat, disgusting, obnoxious, and adds no value to the show.
He looks good, though. He has good suits.
He waves his big hands around like he's Jesse Jackson or something. When I see that bloated face of his, I want to vomit. Another emailer already nicknamed Mike Pereira Baghdad Bob. I ask other emailers to think up a good nickname for this loudmouth jackass. Happy Thanksgiving.
Sweaty
Shane.
Balls or something. He's always sweaty.
Leave him alone. He's just doing a thing.
Yes, Fred, I know. But
Jamie Duke's going to start working for the Patriots soon. Maybe he's going to run the
Jamie,
Adam Marks Hotel.
About Jamie Dukes and the other guy, Adam Schein on NFL Sirius.
I don't have an Adam Schein.
But you know what? They're passionate. They love what they're doing. There's too
so
many guys out there that just go through the motions.
But he's on TV. Stop sweating. Get a cold fan blowing on you.
I would say
dry just your head off.
Add something. You're on TV. True. Add something. He doesn't really add anything.
Well, I lost all respect for him when I was waiting for Tippett to go in the hall, and they had some special, and they were talking about all the candidates, and there were 17, I believe, at that point.
I think
everyone should be in.
Oh, yeah. That's
well,
Andy
and
is
and
exactly
he would rip the
right.
reporters. I don't know what they're thinking. This guy
should be
you
in.
You can't vote all 17 in.
No,
you got to vote.
No. He said all 16 should be in. They didn't mention Tip.
That's true. He never mentioned Tip once. That's another reason he sucks. Dukes, who were you? I don't even know who he was. Who did he play for? What
did
he do?
Panthers, right?
I have no idea.
For the Panthers?
He's a fat bastard who sweats a lot.
Arizona, I want to say.
He sweats more than Paul.
He's
fatter, too.
Trent from Albany, New York.
He's seen when they were on screen together. First time Paul ever looked small in his life.
Trent from Albany, New York.
Are you laughing at me, Gary?
I have a form of alternative punishment for the NFL. If Bill Belichick gets caught cheating again, tell Roger Goodell to make Bill sit down with Craig from South Carolina and listen to a three-hour analysis from Craig on the Patriots' ways to improve the team. Trust me, after that, Bill will never cheat again.
I have to agree with that.
And Shane also has some true or false. You ready?
Wait a minute. What makes you think that Bill hasn't already had a three-hour sit-down with Craig?
True
Bill's
or false?
A man of the people.
Tom Brady will break Peyton Manning's
true.
TD record for a season.
True.
Randy Moss will break Jerry Rice's
true.
TD record
true.
For a season. 2007 will be Asante Samuel's last year
false.
With the Patriots.
False.
2008 will be Richard Seymour's last year with the Patriots.
False.
2008. When does his is that when his contract
isn't it,
goes
isn't it through?
09?
I thought it was
09.
Anyway,
yeah, I'll
false.
Say false. Then.
Wes Welker finally becomes more than just a nice little player to Andy. False.
False.
He'll never agree. Too stubborn.
He'll have to.
He is too stubborn.
I tell
right.
you what needs to unfold for him to become more than a nice
what,
little player.
Go to Canton.
No, because he could ride Randy Moss all the way to Canton. Randy Moss needs to leave, and I want to see him line up with some jag and catch 100 balls and make plays. Okay. It's a lot easier to squirt free and
put
make little plays.
And Caldwell on the outside and see if he catches 100 balls.
I will
balls.
Say this, though.
Well, if he goes, if catches 112
Fred.
Balls every season,
Fred.
With or without Moss, he's going
hang
to the
hang on, Fred.
No,
I don't
not.
Think he's that good.
No,
Fred,
not.
I have an opinion here. It's worth more than any of ours. One Tom Brady said Dante Stallworth and Randy Moss opened things up for Wes Welker.
He said those post, words. He said it post-game.
Absolutely agreed.
Okay.
That's all we've said.
But that's all we've said.
But
and
Ben
we've gotten,
Welker has to execute.
Yes, we didn't say
no
he was
said,
a bad football player.
I don't know why
when
saying
he
that he's
signed,
a good little player is so derogatory.
We said he was going to catch a lot of balls
lot
and
of
make
passes.
A lot of plays for this team.
And I said he would be an important part of this offense, and you guys laughed at me.
No, we
you
didn't.
Were right, Fred.
And we didn't
you,
laugh at you. That's
you were
the
right,
line.
But I don't remember laughing at you. I might have argued with you about it, but I don't
well,
remember laughing.
I laughed at you, but
brother,
and you were right, Fred.
You were right,
and
Fred.
Paul was wrong.
And you're a great boss. You're doing a fine job.
Adalius Thomas. That's
Friday off.
Too many. Everybody says Adalius. Adalius Thomas.
Bill
you
Belichick.
Said it.
Bill Belichick said Adalius.
Did he really?
In the post-game press conference.
Adalius Thomas will make more starts on the outside than the inside for the rest of the year.
False.
False.
I'll say false too.
Joseph.
I'm
Adai,
not coaching.
Joseph,
if I was coaching, you would.
Joseph Adai is a better running back than
true.
Reggie Bush.
True.
True. True. Reggie Bush stinks.
The Joseph Adai, in my opinion, is one of the best in the league. I mean, that's one of the things
he
I've
is
been wrong.
Right now.
By far the wrongest on, or most wrong, how do you say it, whatever. I wasn't right.
Well, by the way, this is Shane in Miami. Anyway.
A quick question on running backs. Are they depleted as well? When I look up and Willis McGahee is one of the best running backs in the league.
That's I don't theory. Get that. He runs for 70 yards a game.
I feel like
but
running
I think,
a
but you know what
depleted.
I think happened? It's a lot of the good running backs got hurt. Jackson, Gore, and Larry Johnson.
Yeah.
The other thing is it's become a passing league.
Right.
Teams throw the football.
That's the bigger thing for me.
But it's
I don't
a passing
think teams
league where quarterbacks stink. So it's a passing league where there's like five
but
good
the
quarterbacks.
But the good ones are taking the lead on the bad teams,
right.
And the bad teams got to throw.
That's true.
I mean, San Francisco can't sit there and give the ball to Gore 25 times a game. They're always behind.
Patriots will sign another running back this season.
True.
True.
Mercury Morris and Don Shula are chodes.
I don't think Don Shula is a chode.
No?
Mercury Morris is.
Yeah. Brian Lowe and Eric Scalavino's favorite movie is Brokeback Mountain. That's how how did he slip that in there without saying, seeing that?
True.
That's just
true,
not fair. You get me on a roll and
okay,
you just
all I'm
going to
say
there.
Is they room together on the road.
Right.
That's it.
Not in a gay way, of course.
And it's a penetration game.
Snuck that in and I missed it. Darn. What? What? Yeah. Now he's waving the phone. What? Dan, what is it?
Talk. John's on the phone.
Who?
John in L.A.
Oh, John in L.A.'s on the phone. John, how you doing? Now John's gone.
John.
Is he on the phone?
Minnie, Gary, John. We usually write that on a piece of paper and, like, show us.
No,
I showed him about five minutes ago.
John had to get back to the picket line.
How will you live, John, day by day?
Sorry, John.
Yeah, you're unemployed. You can't wait on the phone for 5 minutes?
Well, he's got to picket. He's got to walk around.
Yeah, he's right? One of those writers on strike, right?
If he's in the guild. He sounds like a guy who's just trying to get in the guild.
No, but I think if you write, you have to be in the guild. Isn't that the rule?
I don't know. Huh? I write. No, I'm not sure he's actually ever written anything that was used or bought or anything.
That was
like
5 years ago, Fred, when I was telling people I was a sports writer.
Right.
Because I wrote a fantasy column on the internet.
It's like, it's like when I tell people that now.
Let's see. Salt in Orlando. How's Pepper? Crap game last week, crap game this week. I have a hypothetical question that I'd like all of you to answer. If you could have anyone from another team on the Patriots, who would it be? Contract and cap numbers should have no bearing. Lastly, Bill Walshing aside, I love the show. Keep up the good work. Somehow you are finding the middle ground this year. My Patriot outlets down here
is University.
You, the Bill Walshing ESPN, or redneck hillbilly fans who still think the Dolphins are some sort of good.
Any player in the league.
Dan Klecko.
That's a tough one. That's something you have to think about. That's tough.
Who would be fun to have on this team?
Ed Reed would be up there.
I was thinking of a safety. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
That's a good
one. Ed Reed's probably the pick.
But not at
Champ
the cost
Bailey.
Of James Sanders.
I'd love to have
Champ Bailey, Ed Reed. I'd have to put Adrian Peterson in there.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? Ugh.
Oh, yeah. Adrian Peterson's a good one.
God.
Yeah.
That's why I said a die.
How about...
But Adai, I don't find all that exciting. He's good, not exciting.
I'm finding him a lot more exciting than I thought.
I just think he's.
I watched the Kansas City game.
He's got vision. He's got it all.
He had a couple of those runs that he had nothing on. Did you see the one late in the game? It was a third down. And he went wide, and he knew he couldn't.
By the end zone,
go out of bounds
by the end zone.
Yeah, yeah. He knew he couldn't
that
go out of bounds.
That was a phenomenal run,
and he somehow stayed in bounds and made a guy made Ty Law miss. By the way,
phenomenal.
Yeah, Fred
run.
Pointed that out. Don't worry.
And he got down the sideline and he made it like a third and inches instead of a. It would
that's
have been like a third and seven.
They went for it on the quarterback.
Oh, just great.
Yes.
Great that, run.
I think I'd put Ed Reed near the top, and I think Bill loves Ed Reed.
That's another reason why I would pick him, is I know that
Bill
has
knows
the
a lot
effect.
About football.
You know, I know
so.
We've got a ton of wide receivers now, but I'd like to have Chad Johnson on our team.
Well, I certainly would, for the entertainment value,
yeah. Absolutely.
But I was trying to think about like an area this team doesn't have that like exciting.
Well, let's look at the linebacker core. I mean,
well, I was thinking like an
Jonathan
Urlacher.
Vilma. You know,
I was thinking like an Urlacher or a linebacker that can run sideline to sideline and make
who,
a lot of
who
plays.
Are the
That'd
best.
Be fun.
I think Urlacher's really dropped.
I'll give you a name. A guy who I'm wondering why isn't getting more consideration for Defensive Player of the Year has a sack in the last seven games. DeMarcus Ware. You give Bill DeMarcus Ware, forget about
an
it.
An edge rusher. Yeah. Something like that. Playmakers. Guys that make plays.
Okay. The only thing about, and I Mormon. Agree with how good Ware is, but I'm wondering if, you know, didn't he get Thomas for that and then. You know, like as Andy is.
Oh yeah, but
about,
I'm just kind of talking about.
They'll probably make him a nose tackle if he brings.
I'm
him
just
here.
Talking about players in general. I'm not looking at like every like who they. I'm just talking about guys that you would who would in New England would just be phenomenal players.
All right,
Devin Hester.
Yeah,
yeah.
There you go.
Get out of the box one.
TG and NJ says PFW Brian blows Mormon. The doors off the Big Show. Those guys are terrible. They're a bunch of old cranky men. They should be wanting to come on PFW, not the other way around.
We should invite them.
Well, here's the problem, though. If you don't like them, then you don't like us because they're stealing
our material.
All they
day.
Do is yell on top of each other. Well, that's kind of what we do, too. You can't understand them. Sounds like they all have a mouthful of Cap'n Crunch.
I will say this, though. The Big O does a phenomenal job on that show. No, I'm just saying. No, I think his opinions are sometimes border on moronic
right
sometimes.
They're not his opinions. But, they're Fred's. Well, through Jonathan
for Bills.
But like just directing the show, I think he does a very good job of that.
He does. And he does a good job starting the show, getting a topic that gets people fired up.
And if
Tom and I are still trying to get on.
If Pete Shepard is supposed to play the part of the moron, he's doing one hell of a job.
Elizabeth says Andrea Kramer wants some booty.
Oh, yeah.
This really is just embarrassing.
Andrea Kramer wants Randy Moss's booty.
Brady.
I was watching the game Sunday night,
Maybe
and when it came
both.
To the time for the quick post-game interviews, Andrea Kramer was standing in between Brady and Moss. Couldn't help but notice that through the whole interview, it looked as if Kramer was grabbing Moss's ass.
Whoa.
In case you missed it, I attached some pictures I took with my cell. How incredibly disturbing.
Well, we saw it on YouTube. It's on YouTube. I saw it live.
Why was Elizabeth there?
When she says to Brady, "We'll see you next Sunday," it's like a little schoolgirl.
Oh, it's unbelievable. She had this look in her eyes as if she was looking at the high school quarterback, and she was like a sophomore cheerleader. That's what it looked like.
And her eyes were bugging out.
But you know what?
Oh, my God.
You know what,
folks?
Out Andrea Kramer.
For all the female reporters who do a great job. See, this is –
Catherine Tappan does a
phenomenal
job.
This is bad for female reporters because people see that, and then, you know, you get the stereotype. Don't act like that. Act like a professional.
Like Catherine Tappan.
Elizabeth says, also, I wanted to say that I'm officially joining Chelsea in the unofficial Tom Casale fan club. His accent is too cute.
Who's this?
Elizabeth, the beautiful Elizabeth.
That's not my wife, is it?
Was that wonderful? What was that?
Wait a minute.
Was Elizabeth from wrestling?
Miss Elizabeth.
Miss Elizabeth.
Miss Elizabeth. But didn't they have her name for her, like the amazing.
Lovely Miss Elizabeth,
the lovely
maybe?
Miss Elizabeth.
Now, what is my accent?
Where she is now.
We
got to take a break, Dan.
What is my accent?
Why?
I don't know that.
But what is it?
Dan says
York,
we have to
I
take
assume.
A break.
Dan, you're a loser.
Wait, we'll tell you when we need to take a break.
All right, take a break.
Oh, we're not taking a break.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa.
Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The PFW boys will teach you the basics.
All right, you guys, it's first down. I'll hike the ball in the third set hut. Kyle and Cartman, go deep post outs. Kenny, run a slant up the middle. Butters, be ready for the screen.
Eric might need a little more time.
Right. What are we playing again? Football. Got it.
Patriots.com radio.
All right, back here at PFW Progress. Emails are flying in. Henry from Norway says, I just got to say, to all the emailers that complain about the show, this show is great, absolutely great. We've got these great characters. Andy, an idiot, who knows he's an idiot, but still is not a bad guy. I like him the most. He is what he is, and he knows it. He is the most funny guy in the show.
Word.
Tom is not a smart man, and he knows it.
Agreed.
He says a lot of stupid things, but still, he is very entertaining, still a great guy. Paul is fat, and he thinks he is smart. Nobody likes a fat man that thinks he's smart. I don't know how to defend him, but he knows a lot of things, I guess. Sorry, Paul. Fred, our leader, he tells the fans everything we want to hear. Eric, let's be honest, he's the one who brings the show down.
Hey, just in time. On cue.
On perfect cue.
All in all, the great guys email together make this show interesting, entertaining, and great. So all the emailers who don't like this show, stop listening.
Well, great email.
Even if you hate us, listen.
They do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eric, you got a practice update?
Yes, I do.
It looks
what do you
cold
got
out there?
Yes, I do. It's cold, it's rainy, but the most significant news, there were only two absentees, both significant. A
Adalys Thomas, Jarvis Green.
Oh. So we'll find out the reasons for those. It could be team decision.
Team decision would be my guess.
Could be.
But, you know, Jarvis.
Now, any chance.
You know, we saw Jarvis.
Jarvis got
hurt
up
on the last play.
Okay,
game
so I was going to say, any chance he got to go. I know he does a lot of charity things.
No, he hurt his knee.
I just saw Jarvis interviewed on NFL Live.
Is that right?
But when he was coming in injured, he punched the equipment truck. He was so angry.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So
I saw him in the locker room, and I asked him if he was okay at the end of the game, and he said, yeah. I said, you sure you looked like – and he goes, Paul, I wouldn't tell you anyway.
Tell you. That's right, yeah.
And I said, I know you wouldn't, but I saw you bang the truck, and I didn't know if it was like a season ender or something.
He did walk through the locker room today, and I was trying to take note. He had one of those black sleeves on his on his leg.
Those are a popular item these days in the Patriots locker room.
I believe it was his left leg. So, but that's for what that's worth. Returning guys were the guys who weren't there the last couple of weeks. Mitchell, Wilson, and Alexander. Black shirts, if you care, went to Pierre Woods, Bam Childress, Tim Mixon, Santonio Thomas.
Okay. No Ventrone, Tom.
No Ventrone. I know. I saw you chatting him up in the locker room today.
So good. When they win 24-20, Ventrone gets a black shirt. When they win 56-10, he doesn't.
Well, hey, he was playing Dwight Freeney. No one else could do it.
Now, when Tom was talking to Ventrone, was he... You know, helping him put on the Ben Gay and all that?
He might have been, because all I saw there was skin-to-skin contact between the two of them.
Oh, just shook hands.
What? That's, hey,
it was penetration. Can't shake hands with somebody?
I saw penetration. I'm not saying.
Listen, give me, nobody in that locker room knows who I am, cares who I am, talks to me. That's the only guy I got. Cut me some slack.
All right. It was up on the upper practice fields outside, Paul, because I know you really wanted to know that.
Yeah, it's big.
It is starting to rain.
Big. That's huge.
But
that's good. No,
it was another one of those weird practices where it was a mixture of full pads for some players and uppers for everybody else. Oh. So that's
okay.
That's about the extent of it.
That's it. So
Maroney was there. He was there.
That's good news.
Falk was there. Yep.
That's even better news.
Everybody but Thomas and Green.
Now, let me ask you a question, because this brings me up to something that I kind of overheard in the press box at the Bills. Mike Vrabel was out a lot of practices or didn't participate fully in the practices last week. A team decision.
Yes.
From what I hear, the network complained, NBC complained, they changed that to a shoulder injury on Saturday for Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
But I also heard that one of the reasons he didn't participate a lot was because of the defense that they were playing. They used mostly a 4-3, and they had Adalys out on the edge there.
They had both of them.
Yeah,
they rotated early.
But maybe they needed Adalys Thomas to get the extra reps on the outside because he's been playing mainly in the inside. And so Vrabel kind of took the chance to get some time out. You know, and that's why he didn't.
Could be.
It was a team decision that he didn't practice as much.
But if he has an injury, you have to say what it
right.
is.
Well, that's true.
Everything is a team decision.
Yeah. I have no problem with the team decision designation during the week, but I think on Friday is where they kind of ruffled some feathers.
Be questionable with a team decision.
Right. When you're declaring, you know, doubtful, questionable, probable, and all that stuff,
it has to do
there needs to be a reason because. Look, I think we've talked about this a million times. I think the whole thing's stupid anyway because I think everybody fudges it and it shouldn't really be taken all that seriously. But if you're going to do it, I think you need to have a designation down there.
And don't you think
Friday is an injury.
But
it's a definitive injury because otherwise Kareem Brown is doubtful team decision because he hasn't dressed for a month.
Because, Fred, that doesn't stop you from practicing because if you're not a big part of the game plan, that means all the backups should be listed as team decision.
Well,
they weren't part of the
game
plan.
But maybe a guy like that, you want to rest because he does play.
But I was going to say,
but,
Fred.
But here's why I'm bringing it up. Now this week, Adalys Thomas isn't there. Mm-hmm. So does it have to do with maybe a difference in what they're doing this week? I don't know.
Fred, here's my point. If you were giving a guy a day of rest, I think team decision would be one day. Like we've seen it with Kyle Brady, Randy Moss.
Agree. But that's why
it's team decision all week, you're not giving a guy a week off to rest.
That's why when Welker and he were out with team decision more than one day, I started getting concerned for my little loose change.
And I
would have thought that was rest.
He's not limited in practice if he rotates with Adalys Thomas.
That's correct.
There's no reason to list him.
Right.
If his role in the game is going to be split snaps with Adalys Thomas at outside linebacker,
and he takes the second group of snaps, he wasn't limited just because he didn't take the – you know what I'm saying? He's right. filling the exact same role he's going to fill Sunday.
But if you're using the rules of the injury report
– or if you're trying to tweak people and manipulate the report. Thank you.
Exactly. Within the rules, then you take advantage
Bass
of it.
Bass Pro.
No, hey, what? Why not?
I like that. Why not?
See, that's why you're on Boston Sports Media, because I'm sure when Felger was saying that stuff, I shut my mouth, and I guarantee you Andy had a little stupid comment, and that's why we're in that thing.
I'm an idiot, and Henry loves me.
Brad writes in again, because are you telling me you can't hear the Willy Whistle squeak when Perillo pronounces the S? I have to use my headphones because my dog tries to kill himself. I don't hear it.
Do I have a speech impediment?
I've never heard one from you.
Speech impediment.
And Eric would know.
No, because I'm sure he would, he's more cerebral than
That's
the rest
right.
of us. So he would.
Oh, I thought it was because he rhymes with hay.
If anyone, listen, you and your boy over here are the ones who are ambiguously.
Oh, that is true.
Okay. You know, you guys spend an inordinate amount of time together. As soon as you walk in the door, you're running over to his office. Or as soon as he comes in late as usual, he goes running over to your desk.
What time did you get hit today?
I'm taking the shot.
What time did you get hit today?
You're getting better at the comeback.
Fred, who was the first one in today?
Paul was.
Who was the first one here yesterday?
Paul was.
How would Fred know?
Holiday weeks.
Whoa.
Obviously, holiday weeks when there's no traffic. I'm here on time.
Who the first one is. He was the last one.
And he almost caused an accident with me.
What?
That's true. He wasn't here today when I got
here. It was late, but you know why?
In the parking lot?
Because you had to drive.
I had to get a donut, you.
And you had to drive 5 miles an hour on Route 1.
No, schmuck. I had to get up at 4 o'clock to load my wife's car because she was heading to Philadelphia.
Oh, that's right.
Then I went back to bed.
Did you go to scout the Eagles?
You lying your ass off.
What's Speech Boy's name?
Who?
Speech Boy.
Brad Smithwin.
Brad, we've been doing this show since 2001, and you are the first person that has commented. A lot of people have commented on my Boston accent, but that's the first person that's ever said that
speech
I can't speak.
No. And if you're commenting just because you hate Paul, we're okay with that.
I'm all for it, of course. I'm all for it. Absolutely. The last guy called me fat. I don't care.
But
at least what are you going to do?
But it does admit that he might have been confused about Brady holding press conferences. He says he remembers reading accounts of Brady never holding PCs anywhere but his locker earlier in his career, unlike Bledsoe. That's during the week.
Right. Now, Bledsoe always held a podium press conference Wednesday.
On Wednesday, whereas Brady likes to do that at his locker instead.
Although last year he did it all year at the...
Right. Yeah, they asked him to, but
he
preferred doing it at his locker. Yeah.
Periodically this year he's done it in the media room too, but more often than not he does it at his locker.
Alex in New Haven says, I've been listening for a while, but this is my first email. You guys rule. Keep up the great work. I just heard that Lamont Jordan is asking to be released. If he is there any chance that the Patriots would sign him? Lamont Jordan is pretty good.
Yeah, well, it's the Raiders, so they'll probably trade him for an eighth-round draft.
Did they activate Michael Bush?
I don't know what they're doing.
Because that was
Now, Lamont Jordan has been hurt.
No,
so,
I know.
Depending on what kind of injuries he has... That's stupid to release a guy with that kind of talent who you pay, decent money to.
I'll take it.
But that's what you're doing, though.
I would think that would make sense, by the way. That acquisition would make sense.
But you're helping teams. See, to me, that's one of the problems here. Teams like the Raiders keep making stupid decisions that help teams like the Patriots and other teams that are fighting. Lamont Jordan would be a good pickup for any team. Heck, even the Colts. To take some pressure off a guy.
And they'll get him first. It's a waiver wire maneuver, so it'll go... I mean, the Colts would have a first chance.
Patriots would obviously be last.
Trying to think of other teams that might need a running back.
Eric, let me ask
Broncos,
you a question.
Broncos, Eagles.
Eating Captain Crunch? Eagles.
Always like another guy.
Do I have trouble eating it?
Yeah, does it what cut you up your mouth?
No.
Oh. Doesn't do anything to the roof of your mouth, like scratch it up a little bit?
No. I have many years of eating experience, and no, I have no
You and Fred are alone on an island.
Well, Brian in Brookline also says, eating Captain Crunch is like knives on the roof of my mouth.
Thank
you. I agree.
What the
hell are you
talking
about? It needs to be thoroughly soaked in milk before eating.
Now, it's not going to happen to everybody. We don't think every person who eats it is going to have
this,
but
it's most. Okay, do you know what we're talking about, though? It's a kind of a hard cereal, and it kind of irritates the roof of your mouth. All of our emailers obviously know what we're talking about.
Sure, it's a hard
cereal. Andy, Tom, and I are all in agreement. Fred looks at us like...
I've never heard of it.
Can't even put his mind around the concept.
Captain Crunch certainly isn't like Life or, it's something, some soggy kind of cereal.
Oh, it's crunchy.
It gets
it's
soggy
crunchy,
quickly.
Yeah.
That's why you have to eat
Cookie
it fast.
Cookie Crisp, I'm telling you. That's one that...
But no, I've never had...
But
never had
Captain
I don't think Cookie Crisp was as sharp. I think Captain Crunch is hard and has sharp angles. Well,
Cookie Crisp
is not
round.
It's not so much the angle. It's like...
The shape of the...
Yeah, and it really irritates
hurts.
The... It's good. Captain Crunch is a great
when
cereal.
When I eat it, I can never eat
when
it
When you get
back
to breakfast cereal
days.
Spread, Captain Crunch is definitely
in
the
show. You've got to have a day in between.
John,
I can't eat it back
it's still breakfast time in L.A., and John's on the phone. John, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Sorry about before.
No, it's, well, we apologize.
Fred apologizes.
You apologize for me driving through the mountains?
Oh, okay. I thought it was we'd left you on hold too long.
That was my fault.
Okay.
You already gave up on your writing career and you're coming back?
No. I'm driving through the mountains up to Northern California.
Oh.
First of all, apologize if you guys have already talked about this. But did anybody mention the fact that the Patriots have now scored touchdowns on half their drives this year?
No.
Nope.
That's pretty impressive.
46 of 92 or something.
That's amazing.
That is pretty impressive.
Could end up at the sports exchange.
Unbelievable.
Be a clipboard.
First of all, though, I wanted to just praise Tom for his response in FCFW the other day to that douchebag father saying,
hey,
I'm embarrassed for my kids. They're learning the wrong lessons.
Right.
Ridiculous.
I just think if you have a father's organization or something, and like this is what you're sitting around talking about, that the kids don't look at it that way. I was telling these guys earlier.
Not only that, that's your first tip. If you're in a father's organization,
yeah,
that's a problem right there.
But I was telling these guys upstairs.
Good point.
I was always a Cowboys fan growing up, but what turned me into a huge, huge football fan was watching those San Diego Charger teams rack up. They were so fun to watch. When a 10-year-old kid watches Brady throw Moss a touchdown pass early in the fourth quarter, he's not thinking, oh, they shouldn't do that. He's thinking, this is great. I love this. So it's just a crutch. It's using your kid as a crutch, and I can't stand it.
That was a fun game to watch the other night.
It sure was.
Thanks, John.
All right. John, driving through the mountains in L.A.
I think we might have lost him in the mountains.
Mini Gary's growing on me.
Mini Gary. He's got a long wait until he gets as big as Gary.
He's very mini, that's for sure.
You'll always be mini Gary.
Shannon says, he's writing in, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I have a pregnant wife thinking she's going to do all the cooking. When I do it the other 364 days of the year, and two or three different families coming over tomorrow, F me.
So. All right.
Wow. Okay.
What's your problem?
What if he's got a little Thanksgiving anger?
He's going to have a fun holiday.
This guy's going to be a father. He's complaining that his wife's cooking. What's the matter with the boy?
Another person.
I haven't even heard Gary use that one.
Another person writing in about Lamont Jordan asking for a trade.
Well, you can't trade.
What would you trade?
Trading deadline's over,
right?
It's over.
He'd have to get released.
I don't think that's going to happen.
And then I don't think they'll get him because I'm guessing somebody
else. Don't put it past Oakland, though.
But I think they would if they knew what they were doing, they would trade him in the offseason for a six-round draft pick.
But is he? I haven't read anything about this. Is he getting, like, disruptive or?
I don't know. I knew there was some static earlier in the year when Rhodes was there. Is Rhodes still even there? Did they get rid of him?
They were going to get rid of him.
He had the suspension.
Right.
And then he came back.
Hello,
and
Darren
then,
McFadden.
Yeah, it wasn't going well, and I thought they were going to release him. I'm not sure if they even did or not. They've been so irrelevant. So I don't know if he's caused any problems.
Hang on a second. I just thought of something. How many wins do they have?
Two.
Yeah, that's it?
Two. Yeah.
Oh, I was just to say, I thought they had more than that, because I was thinking if they're a team picking like sixth or seventh, they want McFadden. You know that because Val Davis. So if the Patriots were two, maybe they go down to that slot and take Laurinaitis there. So I was just trying to think of a team.
You know,
two
and eight. Question, was Randy Moss good friends with Lamont Jordan while they were there?
Jordan was only there for, was it a year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Moss was, or maybe it was.
Oh,
two.
No, I think they came might in at the
both
same time.
Years. Did might they? Have been
I think
both
they came
years.
In around the same time.
Do we know if they kind of hung out or anything? Because
I don't know
that. Randy's on the phone saying, hey, you know, next year, get out of there. Come on over here. It's great.
You know, maybe.
We're doing a lot of speculating there. For all I know, they hated each other.
I know. That's why I'm asking.
I don't know.
The last guy I liked was Doug Gabriel. That didn't work out all that well.
Oh. Lamont Jordan can play, though, when he's healthy.
No, I know.
No, he sure you
know,
can.
And Tom will fall in love with him because dude's a specimen.
And let's face it, that does happen. You know, the players' friends, they talk. Yeah. That happens.
Dan in Southern California, I'm running it up. I can't believe no one has pointed this out yet. Wasn't the passing touchdown supposedly a sign of respect to Welker at the end of the Redskins game exactly the same play they needed to execute 1 week later in the game against the Colts? To me, this ends all debate. The 60-minute game-time experience when they were ahead paid off late in the game when they were behind only 7 days later.
So why
later.
Did they take Brady out?
I love watching this.
If you're going to play 60 minutes, then play the full 60 minutes. At some point, you deem the game over and you put Matt Cassel in and Kyle Echol and Heath Evans and hand them the ball a million times. If you need all the work, which is a theory that's going around on The Big Show and all these other places that you got to prep, they've only played 10 games, then you need all the work, and I want you to play a full 60 minutes. Don't take them out at all.
Well, there's a balance.
No, there isn't.
Yes, I say run it up.
Yeah, me too.
Don't contradict yourself from 1 minute to the next.
Dana in the UK, seeing as all we all know Brady's going to get league MVP, who do you think should get defensive MVP? I would have said Jared Allen or Sean Taylor, but he got injured. Maybe Vrabel as the dark horse pick?
Jared Allen is ineligible because he was suspended, correct?
Yes.
That's
now,
the new rule,
now
right?
I don't know what if there are different suspensions, you know, because he didn't get suspended for steroids.
All right, but it was still a substance.
But it's still a suspension. I'm not sure if that's the same, but I think
I would think it is.
Can't
win.
I think that Ware has a chance now because I believe he's at 9 or 10 sacks, and if he can throw on 4, you know, it's all about
he's
numbers.
He's not at 10.
So he's like he's around
right,
9.
He's right in the Vrabel range because Vrabel, I believe, is tied for the league lead with 9.5.
Well, yeah,
right. So he's I think he's got 9, and if then Ware keeps this up and throws on like 14 or 15 sacks, I think he's got a chance to get it.
You have to think about
Albert,
Trent Cole then because he's got that same
number. But Ware's a bigger name. You know, these are all popularity contests.
Well, I know, and on a better team.
Yeah, it's just – and I think Haynesworth was the guy everyone was talking about in the running, but now he's been injured.
Lost that.
He crushed me the last 2 weeks.
So, yeah, I think Vrabel could be a dark horse. Same thing as Ware. If Ware, like, slows down and Vrabel gets all the sacks and has 15, sure. I think he's a dark horse.
All right, let's take a little break, not from the show, Dan. Keep us live, but from
don't talk
the emails,
to
because we've got to do Thursday's picks.
Oh, okay.
Do we want to go over last week's
results? I'll just do real quick. Fred, you were the dominant star last week, 13-3.
Wow.
Awesome. Tom and Eric, 12-4. Paul and Andy, 11-5. So everybody did very well. Mm-hmm. Fred, far and away, 9-5-2
was
the number. Eric, 8-6-2. Paul, Tom, Andy, 7-7-2.
Hey, nice.
So that
I'm
leaves
in a little streak here where I haven't sucked.
That leaves the overall standings. Eric, 108-52. Fred, 105-55. Me, 104-56. Tom, 101-59. Andy, 98-62. You keep trying hard, you'll get to triple digits this week.
We're done, Andy. We can't. There's no way we can make up that kind
of ground. With the number, Eric and I, 79-72-9.
That's good.
Tom and Fred, dead heat, 77-74-9.
Ooh, coming down to the wire.
Andy, 71-80-9.
I'm coming,
I'll tell you, if you can go all season picking these games
and be over 500,
one game over 500, that's good.
Hey, these guys in the paper, they're never over 500.
No.
You know?
No.
So
that's
so
not
Fred, here,
we're doing pretty
Fred,
good.
Fred, here we are. It's like we just started week one. We got
that's right.
Now, does postseason count? Are we counting the?
Yeah.
We got 6 more regular season weeks. We got the postseason.
Right. It's a new season.
Yep.
It's a new season. Okay.
All right. I don't have the numbers for the game.
I'm very happy
week.
To be head and head with Tout Casale.
Well, Tout Casale quit for a reason. I can give you trends and stats and like who won back in, but
and then he can go 1-4.
Yeah, there's a reason Tout Casale is here and not doing what he used to do.
Fred made a bad mistake.
I don't have the numbers this week, so we're going to go off of Tout Casale's mind here. Green Bay at Detroit,
3.5 Green Bay favorite on the road.
I'll take Green Bay to win. I'd like to root for my Lions here. I'll be rooting for my Lions, but sooner or later, I'll just jump on this Packers bandwagon and say they can throw the ball, they can score enough points, they can win. And until they face a really good team, an AFC team, or even a Cowboys matchup, I think they're better than all these middling other NFC teams like the Lions.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Taking them both sides?
Yeah.
The Lions really need a win. They're at home. It's Thanksgiving. But I agree with you. You keep waiting for the Packers to stumble, and then I think I'm going to try to split this one. I'm going to take the Packers to win and the Lions to cover. I really don't have an opinion on this game. I think it's going to be a tough, hard-fought game.
So this is the first one? This is the early
game?
Yeah.
Detroit always plays early. Dallas plays late. And now they have the night game.
Right.
Well, I was hoping last week that Detroit would show me what I think they're going to show me this week. And I think they will this week because it's Thanksgiving. I don't like to bet against them at home, even in the years when they're awful. There's just something about, sentimental feelings about them on Thanksgiving. And I also think that Green Bay is due for that letdown that we've been saying that they were going to have all season, and they haven't really yet. But I think it's going to happen this week. Detroit's got those 3 games in a row at home. This is the middle one. I think they're going to – I like the fire that John Kitna showed after the game about, how he didn't play well and how the team should have won. So I'm going to go with Detroit in the upset.
Well, I had a pick to make, but I forgot.
The show over?
I'm going to copy Tom. I like Green Bay. I keep waiting, as he said, for them to fall apart. I think it's pretty much established now in the NFC. they're probably a pretty good team. They're about as good as it gets in the NFC. I think they win.
They
hold,
might have
serve.
The best defense in the NFC while the Cowboys have the best offense.
And that sets up a really interesting matchup next Thursday,
matchup.
A week from tomorrow when they play Dallas.
They already have one of those alliterations for it. It's the Clash or something. I don't know. They've already got one of those little headlines.
They just call it like the BCS Bowl. It's like the minor leagues. You know?
Right, it was like the duel in Dallas. But
Dallas is
going
to win that game.
So I'll take Green Bay to win, but I am going to take Detroit to keep it close enough with that extra half point. I'll say they get the cover and only lose by a field goal.
I'm, you know, anytime between weeks 1 and 3, I would have picked the Lions to win this game, hands down. But I got to go with Green Bay to win this game. Although I heard Sal Palantonio on the radio this morning, and I agree with him. I think this is it for Detroit.
Oh, they got to win.
This
must win.
This is their season right here.
That's true.
If they don't win this game, forget it. But I am going to go with Green Bay also to cover. And I think, you know, I think Paul, I don't think they're going to keep it close because I think once it gets to the fourth quarter, Lions just kind of they give up and Green Bay scores another touchdown to you know, cover the spread. So I'll go with the Lions. I mean, I'll go with the Packers.
All right, next game.
I'm so confused.
We have the Jets.
Yes.
This was a great matchup. Jets at Dallas.
Yes.
Cowboys are 14-point favorite.
I'll take Dallas to win and cover. The Jets stink.
Yes, and my buddy's a big Jet fan. He emailed me the other day, and he said, 14 points, that's too much. And I emailed him back and said, what's that, the first quarter spread? I don't like laying 14 in the NFL unless you're the Patriots or the Colts. I'm going to do it here just because the Cowboys are just an offensive machine right now. They had that tough game last week kind of with the Redskins. The only problem I would say is I still don't think that they have strong leadership at the head coaching position, which makes me worry about them looking ahead a little bit. I think we already saw that once this year in Buffalo when they had the Patriots on deck. But I'll take them to cover. I just can't trust the Jets.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys big in this one. They're the better team talent-wise. They're playing a Jets team that's basically given up another one of the many NFL teams that we've said.
They just beat the Steelers.
They did. They did beat the Steelers, but we know
his thoughts on that.
They beat the overrated Steelers and their awful quarterback, so that you can't really tell too much about that. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys big. Take them both ways.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dallas, too, and I think that a lot of people talk about Detroit as being that big Thanksgiving pick. I think Dallas, when Dallas has a decent to good team, I think you see them roll to a lot of easy wins on Thanksgiving. Everybody talks about the Lions because they're usually bad and they put a decent showing up. I think Dallas really rolls over teams. They did it to Tampa Bay last year, a couple others. I think Dallas gets up early in this game, takes away the Jets' will, and they just roll to an easy win. I think they learn a lesson from the last time they were in this spot and with a big game coming up.
Well, you know, I'm going to pick Dallas to win this game, and I'm going to pick the Jets to cover. I know Sal Palantonio isn't one of our favorite guys, but I'm going to say something that I heard him say.
Is he going to start working for the Patriots now?
Say something I heard him say this morning, which kind of intrigued me. He was watching tape of the game with the Jets and the Steelers, and he said that the Jets did a very good job. Well, he said he talked to somebody at the Jets, and their scouting report on Roethlisberger is like that he likes to roll to his right and throw when he does that. And they really sealed off that lane for him and kept him from going to the right, and they felt that was a big reason why they were able to beat the Steelers. And so I look at, you know, Mangini again has learned a lot from Belichick in game planning.
What does this have to do with Dallas?
Well, I just think that their defense, they've realized that their offense, forget it. We got no offense. We got to rely on our defense. I think the defense is going to step up. They'll lose the game, but they'll keep it under 14.
But what is the – okay, go back to Dallas.
You're saying they're going to contain Romo the way they contain Roethlisberger?
I think that they're focusing on their defense, and I think they'll have a plan to at least limit
Dallas. Does the plan have anything to do with stopping Julius Jones and Marion Barber with that terrible rush defense? I think – you know where they're going to run into problems is DeBrickashaw Ferguson trying to block DeMarcus Ware. When I mentioned him being defensive player of the year, I thought of this game being on national TV and him getting 3 or 4 sacks.
Yeah.
So, but no, I don't mind you taking the 14 points. I'm just kind of confused where you're going with that.
I'm not saying the Jets are going to do much on offense.
You think it's going to be a low-scoring game?
Yeah, fairly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, the last game is the new night game now, second year of the third Thanksgiving game. It's at Atlanta?
Yeah,
right?
I believe
Indianapolis is at Atlanta.
I don't like this,
by the way.
I believe it's 10. If it's much different than that, we'll change it, but I believe it's 10.
We'll check it when we go upstairs.
I don't like this third Thanksgiving game. I like the traditional Dallas. No, I'm not.
They should have checked with you.
Dallas and, well.
It's not your turn?
Is it not?
No, I was just.
Is it not positive?
I was just throwing that music out there. Or something you used to get to watch Thanksgiving night.
I used to like no, when it's they just, played like those two Home teams. Alone. They don't do that anymore. You could always go for Home Alone.
Yeah, that's on. I
oh,
like
it
that.
Is still?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, doesn't Charlie Brown have a thing?
That was on the other night, and I ignored it because it's not funny.
That one's
you're
not funny,
you're just mad because your head's bigger
that
than
that one's
his.
Not
that's
funny.
I'm a hell of a lot funnier than Charlie Brown is.
Christmas one next Tuesday, baby.
Charlie
next Tuesday.
Charlie Brown isn't funny. A comedian. He's just a
watch it young for the
boy.
Kid.
You're a lot more funny looking than comic he is, that's
strip.
For sure.
Watch it for the kid.
It's supposed to make me laugh.
Andy, next Tuesday, watch it for the kid. Do it for the kid.
The kid is 7 months old. He won't get it.
Do it for the kid. You're
going to
take
laugh.
Him. You're going to take
him. He finds me funny. He won't find.
No, you're
going
to take him
Fred,
to that stupid high school
Charlie
football
Brown
game that nobody cares
is cerebral,
about.
And obviously Andy right. can't relate to that.
That's stupid. Not. Funny.
There's a lot of
like
air
the
in that big
Andy
head.
Andy likes the Colts.
We'll
like
watch
the
a little
Colts.
Bit.
I'll take the Colts. You like the Colts?
Big time.
Bobby right. Petrino now going back.
Even though they're all injured, by the way. Everybody
likes the
Colts in the number.
Okay. That'll take care of that.
So that's it for Thursday. We'll see how we do then, and of course Friday we'll do the rest of the picks.
Looking forward
that's
to that.
That's when I surge ahead of Casale on the point spread.
I'm struggling.
Well, it's your November swoon. Yep. You usually have your November swoon. I counted on that when we made the bet.
Where are you going out to eat, Fred?
Oh, I'm gonna really rape him.
No, you're only getting a certain amount.
Huh?
You're not gonna.
You
spend...
said I could go to any restaurant I want.
Yes,
you said
you and your wife can have a meal, but right. It doesn't mean you can have six things of shrimp.
Oh
cocktail.
No, I'm only
you
gonna
can't pull a
Gil
Santos here and order the most
eat.
Expensive
okay.
thing
I
on the
do
menu.
That, but that's fair. It's gonna be.
I
a
thought
good
it was
restaurant.
Ruth.
No, I know Chris. Ruth's Chris. It was.
Oh.
That was a meal.
Go, yeah, we'll go to Ruth's Chris in Boston,
and I can go anywhere I want.
There's one in Boston.
Yeah.
The only difference is I'll be going to Bertucci's.
Yeah, that's where you want to go. That's where you go.
Go to Ruth's Chris for.
Although I don't remember the other part of this. I thought it was just if I win, I win.
Oh, no, that was part okay. of it. No, right. The deal was I don't go to places like
right.
Ruth's Chris.
Okay.
It was going to be like an Outback or a Bertucci's because I don't really like those kinds of places, so I'm not going to do it just to make you pay
you
money.
Know what you're missing, my friend.
Not going to pull a Gil Santos.
You don't like nice restaurants?
If they don't give you big portions. I'm a guy who just likes to eat a lot.
Oh, they do at Ruth's Chris.
Have you ever gone to any of those big steakhouses? They don't give you big portions?
They do.
Oh, no, some of this. I don't know what Ruth's Chris is.
It's
to be honest.
I don't know
it's
about
a,
that
it's
one.
It's a high-end steakhouse, and they serve huge portions.
Huge portions.
How about this, Fred? I've never been to the Cheesecake Factory. If I went
there. That's good.
Is that a deal?
Right. Never okay. been to the Cheesecake. I'm going to play the role of Fred now. You've never
just,
been to the Cheesecake.
Just
why,
came.
Why don't you go to the Cheesecake
no,
Factory?
Just came to upstate New York. That's
oh, really?
Why they built
along
one
with
Albany.
Rocky too.
That's Western New York.
I'm sorry,
well done, Fred.
You know, I can't. I just can't make it here in the metropolis known as Foxborough, Rentham, Plainville,
the Tri-City area.
Yeah. All right, web radio at patriots.com. Dermot. O'Callaghan.
You're drunk.
You're drunk.
Says the talk about this team being the best ever seems to hang on them going undefeated. Can an argument be made for them being the best if they only go 15-1
yes.
when in February?
Of course.
Yes.
You ever hear
of
the Chicago Bears?
If they go 14-2, I think.
Yeah.
By the way, after Andy's massacre of my email yesterday, I thought I'd better email back and answer his question, so here goes. Yes, I am a drunk, but I did sober up to watch the game Sunday. I have this season devised a new game. You guys seem to like games, so I give you have a pint every time New England scores a touchdown. It may or may not have its origins in my native land. This game is great fun, but unfortunately leaves the player somewhat intoxicated by about the start of the third quarter, given the raping
third.
And pillaging by the team this year.
He's
however,
he's, everyone's
it's,
Irish.
It's too bad he's had to cut down on his drinking and only drink when the Patriots score a touchdown this year.
However, it would have left me a nervous wreck for the Colts game if I didn't have a backup game called have a pint to calm your nerves when the Pats don't score. Both games are associated with a small risk of hospitalization from pancreatitis.
That's
also,
tremendous.
I would invite Andrea Kramer meets Stewie Griffin Hart to play, but I guess he'd be bladdered after the first, or blottered, I don't know, after the first Patriots series. Oh, and for your information, Andy, I haven't been in any bar fights for the last two games as I've watched at home. So that's – Dermot has a good sense
good
of humor.
Good email. Well done.
Even though Andy's a jerk.
I'm not a jerk. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm Irish, but I can't drink, so I wouldn't be good at that. How many touchdowns did they score last week? 56?
Seven.
Seven touchdowns? Eight. Seven beers and
– Well, eight if you
I'd be drunk after the first pint.
8 beer. Oh, and that's right. A seven pint on is offense. More, isn't it? That's more than a beer. That's more than 12 ounces, right?
I got no shot.
Ooh, yeah, I'd be puking in the third
pints
quarter.
Pints are 16 ounces.
Ooh. Especially if it's that crap beer Fred ordered the other.
Oh, yeah.
Man, was that.
Well, that was homebrew.
Just piss in a cup.
Yeah, I only ordered that one once. And then I went with the Lighthouse, which was
oh, you went. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I thought you had the one I got. That was a good one, too.
Eric, have you ever been, like, drunk?
I was going with Blue Light.
What's that?
Have you ever been, like, really drunk?
Give me a Blue.
No.
You don't drink up to that point, do you?
No, and there's reasons why that I'm not going to go into right now.
Oh, no, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just wondering for...
No, I'll tell you about it later.
Up to what point? What are we talking about?
Just, like, really drunk.
Oh. No.
Like, all of us, we've all seen each other, like...
No, and you never will.
Okay.
Let's see.
Oh, the women got ejected in that Jets game for showing their boobs? Wow, that's too bad.
Should have been welcomed back in.
Can't have any fun.
Put them on the big screen. That's seriously what they do here when they have a festival outside, isn't it?
Come here, show us your boobs. We'll let you in.
We'll have you on the show. Show your boobs and you're on the show.
Dave from
that's
the
Chelsea.
Show.
That's
just
Elizabeth.
I like your boobs.
Let us touch them and we'll make you a permanent member.
Oh. See, now he's taking the next step. Oh. See?
Dave from the
There's
Philippines.
One more step I could take.
After listening last night, I went to ESPN to look for a Tuesday morning quarterback article to see what lame things they had to say about the best team in the history of the NFL, at least through 10 games. I couldn't find the article at first, but while I was looking, I did stumble onto another one by DJ Gallo entitled Giving Thanks for Week 11. Here's a quote from that article about our coach, Bill Belichick. Quote, body switching Peyton Manning and Eli Manning and turning Adam Vinatieri into Scott Sisson. Oh, well done. Well done, sir. Well done. Your powers know no bounds. It is impossible to like you, but we are all thankful for the added intrigue you bring to the NFL. And I know there is little that makes you happy, but we wish you a pleasant Thanksgiving, no doubt breaking the neck of a live turkey, biting its head off, and then cooking it to a crisp in the fires of hell is one of your few joys in life.
Jeez.
I guess the players that think the workouts are tough should be glad they don't have to have a team dinner on Thanksgiving at the coach's house.
Priest Holmes retiring?
Yeah. It's too bad.
So Bill Belichick
just glad he's walking away.
Getting some
you know
ink.
What? He got hit late in the third quarter, I want to say, in that game, and it looked like it might have been one of those concussion deals. One of his teammates came by and hit his head with his leg. And I don't think he came back in the game after that. I'm not sure, but I don't think he did. I think that Colby Smith, the other guy from Louisville?
Colby Smith.
He came in, and I started thinking to myself, I wonder if that's the last we'll see of him. And
blessing in disguise for him.
Yeah.
Blessing
in
disguise. Yeah. Get out.
Right.
Don't
I'm
risk
surprised
any
he came back
damage.
At all.
Yeah. He proved his point. Get out.
Let's see. Louie from Tampa. Hello, bitches. Can you tell us a little bit about those early 90s Eagles teams, particularly their defense, led by Buddy Ryan and with such players as Reggie White, Jerome Brown, Clyde Simmons, Seth Joyner, Eric Allen, Wes Hopkins, and Andre Waters? I believe they were Tom's favorite crew.
Well, they weren't my favorite because they were going up against the Cowboys and shutting them out. It's just now, years later, I respect them. Second best defense I've seen behind the Bears. They 1 week they signed Brad Gable or Goble, I forgot how they pronounce his name. He was working at UPS. He started as the starting quarterback. They won the game like 20-3. That's how dominant that defense was. Never won a championship, so you don't really hear about him. But when Jerome Brown was alive, you're looking at Simmons, Brown, Golic, Reggie White. You had Byron Evans and Seth Joyner at the linebackers, Allen and Hopkins back there in the secondary, Waters. Unbelievable defense. If you could go back and see how bad those offensive, I mean, you're talking James Joseph was one of the running back. I mean, just awful. It was basically, Cunningham said when he was in Minnesota, he became a better quarterback because when he was in Philly, Buddy Ryan told him, just run around and make two or three plays a game. Defense will do the rest. I mean, Buddy just hated offense. He hated his own offense.
Some tragedy on that defense, too.
Yes.
You know, the Andre Waters, the Reggie White,
and Jerome Brown.
Yeah.
Jerome Brown, many people would believe, I mean, even Reggie White said this, would have been one of the all-time greats.
A lot of people said he was better than Reggie White.
Yes, he said he not only had the physical skills, he had the work ethic, he had the mental. So, it's that was a tragedy that I obviously made fun of when I was in Philadelphia at the game.
Let's see.
Full disclosure from Tom Casale. That's
making
great.
Making friends all throughout the stadium, I'm sure.
They were in my face, you know. Get out of my face.
Alejandro from Bogota.
I can totally see that whole thing.
Stay classy, Casale.
I can totally see that
I
whole
just
thing.
Said, who made that tackle? Jerome Brown? Oops, I forgot.
Alejandro from Bogota. The Eagles and Patriots played in Super Bowl 39 just 3 years ago. Those were considered model franchises in the NFL. Well, why do you think the Patriots have stayed more competitive than the Eagles, who seem ready to fall apart both at QB
and
head coaching?
And Moss.
The head coach and the quarterback on the other team took a turn for the worse.
You know, and really, you look at what happened to McNabb. He's had serious injuries since then.
Injuries, questions about his character, his leadership.
And the T.O. thing. Whereas Moss has come in and many ways solidified the offense and brought it to another otherworldly plane. T.O. completely damaged after his one good year, completely damaged everything, and, you know, in some ways irreparably damaged it because they've never been the same.
Let's see. Andy in Sioux City, Iowa says, "Hey, Potato Head, I watched every second of the game. Just can't get enough of watching the raping and pillaging the Patriots are doing to the rest of the league. I could not believe what I heard yesterday when Mr. Potato Head said that he still thinks the Steelers have a chance against the Patriots. Get out a new set of eyes, ears, and mouth and a goofy hat and be realistic. The Steelers are not beating this team. The Giants have the only shot, and I doubt they can muster it."
I don't think the Giants have a chance. I don't really think the Steelers have a chance. I just think that they are the one that could.
The Giants aren't as good as Pittsburgh. I'll give you that.
Do I think it's going to happen? No. Is there a chance? Yes.
Yes. There's a chance every week.
But Jeff and Bartlett.
Even he admits it, and he hates Roethlisberger.
Exactly.
He thinks they play with only 10 players on offense.
Jeff and Bartlett, I've heard the early line for the Super Bowl is already the AFC team favored by 14.
Yep.
Do you think the spread is so high because Vegas believes the Pats will be the AFC representative?
Yes.
Or would they do the same for any AFC team because they think the NFC is inferior?
Yes.
Well, I think part of it is,
I think that's based on AFC against the NFC. Well, it'd be 14 points. If it's the Patriots, I'm telling you right now, it's going to go a lot higher than that.
Right.
Yeah,
so
a lot higher
than that. So the thing is, right now, you should bet right now because
the numbers
it's only going to go up.
It's going to go up. And Tom made the point yesterday about Dallas because Dallas is one of those teams that has such a huge betting following. Maybe it wouldn't go up as much, but it will go up. If the Patriots are 16-0, especially the whole AFC NFC thing, it's 14 based on AFC NFC.
Yeah. Right.
Once it's legitimately the Patriots against whoever, it's going to go
Dallas. I think if it was Dallas, it'll be about 16-17. If
probably
it's anyone else,
been.
You're looking at a record.
Right.
Yep.
Jeff also says, "I emailed last week about the University of Wyoming coach getting disciplined for an obscene gesture against Utah when the Utes went for an onside kick up by 43 points. My question still stands. Which opposing coach is most likely to flip off Bill Belichick? My money is on Brian Billick."
I think it's Jeff Fisher.
Don't play.
If they play in the playoffs.
This year? Yeah, I thought you meant like which one in general.
So what do we have left? Reed?
Tom? Nah, he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Coughlin?
Not the Cameron
Coughlin.
Wouldn't.
Coughlin's a hothead.
Yeah, but don't him and Bill have some kind of tie?
Yeah.
Do they? I'm asking.
I think
Coughlin was on the Giants.
Was a Parcells guy.
Back when Parcells was the head coach.
So they might be.
I don't know. If you asked anybody, I would say Jeff Fisher. He's a former player, like Andy always says, and has that former player, you know, that mentality.
And they could meet in the playoffs, maybe. So,
what about Mangini?
Del Rio? No, not Mangini. No.
I think Mangini will slink off that field as inconspicuously as possible.
Mm. Well, when you lose 80 to nothing, what other choice do you have?
But that's why.
I know.
Sean from Fort Myers, let me start by saying I love the broadcast every week. I usually listen to it after the fact, but that's okay. I got to do what I got to do. I was listening to you guys on Tuesday and was inspired to chime in. The Patriots are, without a doubt, a phenomenal team. What intrigues me is the fact that they remain so grounded. I'm extremely proud to be a Patriots fan, as I have been all my life. But more than the fact that we are winning, I'm very happy that we are humble as well. As the talking heads say, we are the prototypical franchise of professional sports. Do you agree?
Yes. I would have to say yes. But you're...
Tom's right. He has to say yes.
No, I was saying I have to say yes. But one of the things I was thinking of last night, people are always emailing in about people, you know, everyone hating the Patriots. And I hate the Yankees, but part of it's because I grew up in New York and I hate them. But there's a team that Paul and I can't stand that we hate. It's Duke basketball.
I'm with you.
A lot of people are in that boat. Now, Duke has never done anything to us.
Nope.
We just...
Duke has never done anything wrong,
right,
period.
Nothing.
They do everything exactly the way you would want at the collegiate level. I hate them.
There's two reasons why Paul and I hate Duke.
Mike Krzyzewski.
One, because they win. And two, because the ball always seems to bounce their way. And Fred, I think even you would admit that the Patriots have had a few lucky bounces along the way here. And... we just hate Duke, and that's why people hate the Patriots, because they're good. I mean, every time Duke loses, Paul will come in, first thing he says, "You see Duke lost last night?" We get giddy over it, and that's how people look at the Patriots.
They also had guys like Christian Laettner, Bobby Hurley, who were easy to hate because they were cocky.
The funny part is I actually liked Bobby Hurley. I hated Laettner, but I liked Bobby Hurley.
Really? I would think Bobby Hurley would be on your list.
No, I liked him.
But he was good.
I liked his swagger. Yeah.
But Laettner, I think, is a brewski.
In that accent.
Don't you think Laettner is like a brewski? A guy who that when you, other people look at him, they hate
no.
him?
No. Well, not a brewski. Laettner's more like like a rich kind of
so when
guy
Brewski,
that,
but when Brewski said after the Colts game,
No, I know, but Brewski's got that blue-collar mentality, and you might hate him for that, but
do you think
but
people
Laettner
who don't root
like
for this
the
team
guy
like
with the
Teddy
silver
Brewski.
Spoon in his mouth. What?
Do you think people that don't root for this team like Teddy Brewski?
No.
Okay.
Well, that's not true. I think a lot of people do like him.
Geez, I thought you were actually going to give an honest answer. For
no,
once.
No.
That's
I,
all right.
Well, how is he winning the linebacking thing if people don't like him nationally?
Laettner was like an arrogant version of Tom Brady.
So he was Tom Brady?
So he was Tom Brady?
No, I'm talking on the court. You guys are talking about like his upbringing. I mean, on the court, he was like a brewski where he would lose his temper. He would kick you. I mean, Laettner was a tough guy in college. I don't care if he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And that's just what I meant, is a guy that people don't like.
Like Danny Ainge?
Sure.
You know?
Danny Ainge.
Well, people who weren't Celtics fans hated Danny Ainge.
That's true.
He was a dirty player.
That's true.
Yeah.
And we loved having him.
People still think that he's the one that bit Tree Rollins. Rollins bit him.
That's correct.
That's right.
You know, because of his.
You're going back a ways. Andy's not following this conversation.
Who do you throw the basketball?
He doesn't even know who Danny Ainge is.
He doesn't know.
Who do you
Ainge
throw the basketball?
A basketball at someone?
The back of somebody's head. They were guarding the inbound pass, and he threw it right the back of their skull.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
I thought it was kind of dirty.
Dave from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Hey.
If the Patriots go 16-0, there should be an asterisk beside Miami's name. The reason for the asterisk is because they will have won 14 games as opposed to the Patriots 16. Hear, hear.
Yeah, so you're penalizing Miami because they only played 14
they
games?
They didn't do it.
I tell you what, round up the old crew, get Shula back on the sidelines, bring those 72 guys back out against the Pats, and we'll settle this once
Watch
and for all.
Watch out for Morris, though. He seems a little hyped up on top.
Yeah, as he was back then.
Andy
no
Vermont.
Testing.
I noticed that Andrea Kramer was drooling, not literally, but mentally. I think it's funny. Her voice is all soft and giddy. I was laughing during the interview. You'd think she'd been around enough athletes. She should have been able to contain herself a little better. But then I think those ESPN chicks are always a little buzzed up. I like the show a lot, guys.
What do you mean by buzzed up? Are you taking my coked-out Andrea Kramer?
Where do you
to
go to college in Vermont? How many freaking times do I got to ask you?
Syrup Factory of Vermont.
I don't know. What?
Guy's got selective listening.
John in Rhode Island,
I was gonna say,
which means it's John Rook. John, how you doing?
Great, Freddie. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. What's
you
going
too,
on?
You know, I actually think that the topic of the teams that you loved to hate is actually a pretty good one, to be all, in all honesty, because I know that there were teams that I hated just because they were good when I was growing up.
You know, for me, John, Texas football.
let's get to the question everybody's wondering now. Is Texas going to beat A&M by 5.5 points?
God, I hope so.
No, that's not what
that's
I was
the analysis.
For.
No. You really want me to answer that for you? I can't. I don't know that they're good enough to do it. It'd be amazing. And might I say, Tom, turnabout fair play because of how they screwed it up at the end of last year. So if they backed their way into the Big 12 championship game this year, it would only be, just as served, I think.
Okay.
But frankly, I think Missouri is a better team. So I don't know about Kansas. I still don't know. I still think that they're a paper Jayhawk.
Okay.
I like
what teams do you hate, John? Real quick.
Growing up, I hated the Oakland A's because they won everything in the 1970s.
Yeah.
And I hated the New York Yankees. Those are the teams that I hated the most of all. Those two teams.
Oklahoma, John.
Well, that's a natural. I still hate Oklahoma. Okay. But the other one that I hated was the Boston Celtics.
You know what? I was right with you because I grew up in New Jersey and I was a big Knicks fan.
Yeah, that
makes I hated John Havlicek.
You've been all over the country.
Yeah.
He's liked every team at some point.
Oh, he was a big fan of the Virgin Islands national team that one year when he lived there.
I hated the Celtics because they won all the time. And really, that was the only reason why. I was, for some reason or other, they were beating up on everybody. And so I would always root for the underdog. And it was the same thing with the Oakland Athletics when they had the Reggie Jackson, Joe Rudy, that team. And then of course, the Yankees, the post-Reggie and the pre-Reggie Yankees.
When you were hating the Celtics, John, Adam, you might have been too young, but did you get into the whole thing of I hate Red Auerbach because he's dirty and all that stuff?
No, not really. I thought Red Auerbach, as I recall, being a teenager and even younger than that back in the 60s, is that, you know, because they were so dominant, those Russell teams were so dominant, it's kind of like, wow, that's not fair because they were so dominant. It wasn't so much because I hated the Celtics, it's because they were dominating right. people, and so I wanted other people to have a chance to compete. And so I can actually see that point of view a little bit with people from the outside, you know, on this version of the Patriots. You know, there's not a whole lot really to hate if you know these guys, because these guys haven't changed since, for the most part, really since their 2001 persona. But, you know, we've added a few new pieces to the puzzle, and you get a couple of little controversies going here and there, and then all of a sudden now they're the team that everybody loves to hate, which is fine. It's everything's cyclical in life, so it doesn't really bother me. But I can understand the point of view of people coming in and saying, you know what, those Patriots, I'm about ready for them to go down.
Yeah. All right, John, so we got a lot of emails that we didn't get to, so maybe Dr. Jason Dvorkin can forward them over to you. And have a good show. Have a good Thanksgiving.
You too.
And to all our listeners, we'll see you on Friday. Go Patriots.